push.
Oh, hello there. Today, children, I'd like to demonstrate some different styles of vocal scratching. To begin with, we'll need a beat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
If you start a sentence with, not to be racist, but, well, you probably shouldn't have started that sentence. But if you did, here's how to finish. Not to be racist, but you make some great points, black person. I'll be on my way. Oh, and thank you for Michael Jackson.
Is there anything you would like to add?
These microphones look like black ice cream cones.
Thank you all for coming out.
That's something else right there, man.
And now,
these guys... We don't like these guys.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of September. What is up?
Hi, Bean.
Not your mic.
I mean,
I kind of like it this way. <It's>, who's with me?
It is refreshing.
I mean, originally it was a mistake, but I sort of liked it.
Hey, look, didn't they discover penicillin by accident when they tried to do something else? Sometimes just magic happens out of errors.
Allie Free Show is a dream. Hey, Allie.
Hi, Bean.
Still not on?
All right, it's on now.
All right, is it on now?
Yeah, it's on now.
Hey, Allie.
Hi, Bean.
No, it's on. I mean, it was on just before she spoke.
I hate you all.
No,
all right, so...
All right. We're on fire today.
Well, I already told Chip. It's a legitimate concern, right, Chip? The thing I told you about with the wife?
Sure.
All right. So here's the thing. So I traveled yesterday. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in studio with the kids today. And because we are getting all fired probably after the show today. We got a meeting. We don't know. But anyway. So I talked to my wife last night before I go to bed. It's like 8:30 because, you know, I rage. And what's up? And she's like, well, I'm going to the movies tonight. Her and her friend are going to the movies tonight.
Right.
So I said, okay, fine. I said, text me when you get back in so that I know that you made it home okay. So then I wake up this morning. Nothing. No text.
Uh-oh.
So text me when you get back in.
Yeah, when she gets home from the
don't
movies.
You know it when she gets home? Are you asleep, you mean?
I'm in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah. You tracking now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I talked to her on the phone before bed.
I'm with you now.
Okay. So I say, when you get back home from the movies, text me. So that way, when I wake up, I can look at my phone and see that she made it back okay.
Got it. Same page.
So I wake up this morning, nothing. No text. So... She's dead, right?
See, that's Bean's go-to.
Well, I mean, why? What other explanation is there?
She didn't care enough to text you.
Maybe it slipped her mind.
Right, or that.
She had, you know, some wine and then saw a movie and then got home and was like, this is great.
But doesn't she get home and go, well, I don't have a husband. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to text him to let him know I'm home okay.
Well, clearly, no.
She would notice that I'm not there. I'm concerned what the possibilities are here. And I'm also wondering, you know, I am in L.A. for the day, and I'm wondering if – am I technically single now?
Well, I mean, I think so.
I mean, if
I
she's
state
dead,
lines.
I mean, yeah. Life is for the living.
It's true.
Right?
You got to go on.
I can't mourn forever.
So are you going to just assume she's dead and start making some plays?
Well,
bring on the interns.
I feel like it's likely that she's dead, and I'm very sad about it. It's kind of It's a terrible. Well, again, you got to move on, Kevin.
How many times have you assumed someone has been dead where it turns out they weren't?
Every time.
Millions?
All the time.
That doesn't dissuade you from thinking that way.
Because that's the most logical explanation.
Sure.
Because I don't, like, in a million years, I would, if the situation were reversed and she said, hey, you're going to be out late, text me when you get home, it would never occur to me to not text her when I got home. I would say, oh, I don't want to worry my wife. I want to let her know that I made it back okay and everything's fine. So why? What up?
Honestly, I think it just comes down to she doesn't like you.
Oh, well, see, that's... I wasn't going there. I just thought maybe she got home. One of the dogs had an accident. Oh, my gosh. I've got to clean up after the dog.
An accident?
What?
Now your dog is
now
bowel
my dog
problems?
Is dead what? Too?
That's not what she meant by accident.
Like a wood chipper?
The dog hung itself. Yeah. That's very sad.
Now they're all gone?
I'm so sorry.
Everyone's
dead.
No. This is a colossal disaster.
This is getting worse and worse.
No, I think
did my house burn down too?
Yes, your house is gone. And there's no cell service because the whole island burned down.
Not to ruin your party, but she's fine. She's in bed. She's asleep. She's not missing you. Everything's good.
I just feel like some confirmation of that would. But wouldn't I know if she came home? If I was in a hotel in Los Angeles,
yeah, you
she
would.
Were a thousand
you should.
Miles away at home, wouldn't I know she was there, Kevin?
Because you live with her.
Right. That virtual reality bedroom that we share.
All right. Well, anyway, I have a thing I was going to tell, but I'll save it for tomorrow because now I'm too upset as a recent widower.
Wow. Oh. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
You are a white Rodney King, a hero.
Okay. All right. Joe Rogan will be in studio
today.
Yeah. Love having him.
Love Joe.
He's going to be talking about UFC 191, which is Saturday night. And he's talking about a comedy show that he's doing in Vegas. Brand new internet roundup on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Bean's favorite time of the year when Oxford Dictionary comes out with their new words.
Well, I do love to see how the language evolves.
Yes, you do. We're going to take calls about horrible wedding guests because it seems like there's always one at pretty much every wedding. At least one. So that's coming up today.
Didn't Lindsay Lohan end up naked at a wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's a bad guess?
No.
Yeah.
That makes it the best wedding ever.
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, for the guys, probably.
I just think in terms of memorable, in terms of stories, you know, I just think now you've got something that everyone will laugh about
for
years to come.
Remember when Becky got married and we saw Lindsay Lohan's hoo-ha?
How crazy was that?
Awesome.
Hey, I'm down with that kind of story. Yes. I'm in, but most people are a little more uptight than that on wedding day.
Right. So. They do want everything to go just so.
I'm not sure why, but that's how it works.
I don't think I'm getting married again, by the way, in case you guys are wondering. I think I'm done.
Yeah. I don't think.
I know it's still fresh.
Right.
But
I've changed.
I don't think I'm thinking about getting married yet.
Okay.
I may just play the field.
Like you do.
Like I do.
We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Amalia writes in, by the way, talking about my dead wife, that I'm assuming she's dead because I didn't hear from her last night.
Right.
She was probably killed by raccoons. So the way they're taking over the world. So start playing playa is Amalia's advice. So I think that's what I'm doing.
Mm.
Hey, Ralph Garman, good morning.
Wait, was she referring to you as playa?
She said to start playing playa.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Right.
What's up, Ralph? How you be?
How you be, Ralph?
Why wouldn't she take extra special care of herself when she knows she just has to hold on for a few more years before she can cash in?
Maybe not even that long.
On every nickel you've ever saved in your life, which is all of them. She is just, she's right around the corner from a big payday. I can't imagine she would get sloppy and put herself in jeopardy at this point.
So you feel like she's fine.
She's fine.
Took the advantage of not having to talk to me to not talk to me.
I just feel like her hands may be busy elsewhere. That's why she couldn't work the phone because I think she is taking advantage of an empty house.
Wow. I think just got sad.
What's more likely? My theory or Bean's theory?
Yeah. You're being ghosted. That's what's happening. You're being ghosted.
In fact, I should get used to never hearing from her again.
Yeah.
All right. A little misunderstanding with our friend Derek Waters from Drunk History. We'll discuss coming up just after 6.
Derek Waters, keep on rolling.
First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
You want to know what your favorite stars in Hollywood are doing with their faces? Brand new report about plastic surgery run rampant in Hollywood.
Okay.
Here's what's new. Here's what's popular. The puppet facelift, apparently, is very popular.
The puppet?
The puppet facelift, where doctors take pieces of string and they thread them through the skin and your cheek muscles and then tie them up to ensure that your face stays in place.
Are you ready to get sexy?
Yeah.
That sounds horrific.
It sounds like a nightmare. Apparently, Kris Jenner is the poster girl for the puppet facelift. Now, one doctor here says that the sutures can be seen and felt forever. You feel the string in your face forever. Because they can't use dissolving sutures or anything because then your face would drop again. So you can always feel this skin threaded through your muscle and skin holding your face up. You can feel that forever.
Like a Frankenstein's monster with stitches, basically.
Basically,
they never go away.
But only this one runs through your cheek and your jaw, and you feel that under the skin for the rest of your life.
I feel like this is something that they're going to look back and go, do you guys remember?
We used to tie people's faces up?
That was so stupid.
Nuts.
What were we thinking?
By the way, Kris Jenner, she backed out of After Paradise.
Oh,
this
she did.
Week. She was supposed to be the special guest celebrity fan.
Okay.
And she backed out, and she called into the show when it was live and said, "Oh, I got stung by something on vacation, and my face is all puffy and it's swollen, so I didn't feel comfortable coming on television." I was like, "Yeah, sure, you got stung by something, by a surgeon."
That's bizarre because wasn't she at the MTV Video Music Awards, which were just the night before?
I didn't see her there.
I don't know.
Did not keep track. Mandy Moore, meanwhile, she is a big fan of another procedure very popular in Hollywood these days: the deep freeze face.
I'm sorry?
The deep freeze face. That's where you stand in a chamber that's 238 degrees below zero, and your face gets blasted with nitrogen gas.
Well, this is preferred methods to die? What is this?
No, this is staying young forever. You need to get your face blasted. Wow. Mandy Moore likes to get her face blasted with nitrogen gas.
And then how does that help you?
Because your face is frozen. And
right,
you
until it falls out, and then...
Right, and it melts down. Then you throw the string through, and you tie it up. You can just use one of these procedures after the other.
I want to ask Rogan about that 200 degrees below zero type thing that you're talking about with the nitrogen, because one of the things that he gets into, you know, he's got all those crazy tanks and stuff, is like that. It's like a 200 degrees below zero, and I don't know how your skin survives that.
I don't either.
It sounds incredibly dangerous.
It's the in thing to do right now.
Yeah.
People are buying actual memberships to go into this big thing, freeze, and then come out and they feel rejuvenated somehow.
It would wake you up, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And lastly, the Cinderella surgery is a new popular one amongst Hollywood's elite. This is for women who are tired of not being able to fit into the perfect pair of designer heels. A lot of designer shoes are made specifically one way. They don't have varying sizes in terms of, especially for width for women's feet.
Oh, I see. So not everyone fits.
So the Cinderella surgery, as you can imagine by its name, will reshape your feet by lengthening or shortening your toes so that they will fit perfectly into a pair of designer shoes.
Ah, mamma mia.
That's a
so they will break
idea.
Your toes and lengthen them or cut them and shorten them in order to make them appropriate for high heels.
Wow.
This is some sort of commitment to beauty that I just don't understand.
And this is why the rest of the world hates us, boys and girls.
The rest of the world is right.
In this particular case, they are. Also because of the people we sent to the UK Big Brother house.
Well, there's that, too.
More drama over there. Janice Dickinson. America's first supermodel, by the way.
Right.
The world's first supermodel.
She'll tell you that over and over again.
Yeah, just ask her. Mm-hmm. She apparently spit on somebody in the house.
Look, I'm not positive how this works, but I think they asked for these people. We didn't just ship them over.
I know, but we should have
no,
known better.
We shouldn't have. We should let them go.
We're
then block their return.
Listen, we're the young country. England's the old country.
Sure.
They're confused.
They don't know.
They don't know. Mm. We have to it's like taking care of an elderly parent. You have to step up and say, I know that seems like a good idea, but I really don't think that you should have Janice Dickinson come live in your country at all. Let's talk about this later. Well, I'll see you Sunday. And then that's it.
Kevin's got the right idea. Is the State Department should be canceling all those passports of all those people we sent over to Big Brother. They can't get back into the country.
True. Build that wall quick,
that's
Donald
right.
Trump. That wall between us and England you want to talk about building, the ocean wall. Put that up and make them pay for it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Fox NFL Sunday co-host Terry Bradshaw, 67 years old.
He's the best.
He is. He's very entertaining.
Although, have you noticed he really is starting to have trouble?
Well, he said all the blows he took to his head while he was playing football are starting to accumulate, and he's having a hard time with his mental faculties. Kevin?
Same.
Hey, Harvey Levin, our buddy Harvey Levin.
Harvey Levin.
Harvey Levin.
He's a lawyer.
Harvey Levin.
He is a lawyer.
Guys. Harvey Levin. 65 years old today. Mark Harmon is 64.
Ooh.
Charming Mark Harmon is 64 years old.
Dreamy.
Good-looking 64. Keanu Reeves is 51. Salma Hayek celebrates her 49th birthday. Cat Williams, the comedian, is 42. And DJ Zed celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying it seemed like there was some sort of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Well, last time Derek Waters was in, co-creator and host of Drunk History on Comedy Central, which debuted last night for season 3, I felt like we had a gentleman's agreement. I felt like there was a handshake. I felt like, all right, I'll see you at the set, Bean, is the impression I got.
I do know that you talked about being on Drunk History since then.
Yeah,
you've talked about it solidly.
Many times.
Because
I was looking forward to it.
Like it's a done deal.
It was
just a matter
of
when you're going to do it.
So we have the creator of Drunk History in Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I will stop this interview a couple of times so that we can discuss. But I do believe that perhaps one of the people in this argument misunderstood the other one.
And Derek should apologize for that and make it right.
Right. Or.
All right. Let's hear what you got. Two times ago when you were in, we were talking about how much we're all such big fans of the show, and we are. And somehow we got onto the topic of the fact that I had never been drunk. This is Bean speaking. Have never been drunk in my life and still haven't. And you seemed intrigued by that. And we ended up having a conversation where it was suggested, where I offered to be on the show. And I even had a couple of pitches, I thought, which were some pretty reasonable ideas of historical events that would be perfect for Drunk History. And you seemed very receptive to the idea.
Right.
And all I know is I'll get back to you. That's what I know. Now, maybe that's Hollywood speak for her. That's a terrible idea. You'll never hear from me again. But
well,
I'm not
let me cut you off politely.
Please.
I'm from Baltimore. I am not Hollywood. And second, as much as I love the show, what I love more is people not drinking. I'm not going to inspire someone to drink. What if Bean does the show and we find out he's in a gutter somewhere and it's because he told a rare story about Lincoln?
It's a good question. He doesn't want to be responsible for that, Bean.
So are we buying that? Are we buying that explanation is I don't want to have somebody get drunk for the first time on my TV show?
Do you want to know the truth?
Yes.
Looking at his body language,
yes.
I would say that at the beginning he wasn't even sure that that conversation ever took place.
What?
Yeah. And then, Allie, what did you think?
A little bit.
Right?
What? Yes. Yeah, we had an agreement.
Right. No, you didn't, though. That's the thing.
Here's the thing, too. He said, at first I was intrigued. And in my head, I just went, oh, he's every dude right now. Like, I was intrigued, then I got over it.
Intrigued is not a good word.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
To me, I thought he walked out of here going, oh, well, at least we got one show booked.
No, that's what you heard in your head.
No.
That's not what he said. Although, when he's on the street, people do ask him about it.
No, but Bean, I get asked very often, like, so when's Bean doing the show?
I'm like, you what? So what you've heard the questions too, then?
Yes, yes.
So people keep contacting.
Wait, hold on,
like,
Bean. Hold on. Do you remember this conversation? Then?
Yes.
Okay, you do.
Okay.
Do you remember telling Bean that he could do it?
I said I was intrigued.
Okay,
I believe.
All right. Good. Yeah, that's a nice guy's way of saying, give me your number. I'll call you back.
I have this book, Bean. It's called He's Just Not That Into You. And I want to loan it to you. I've highlighted a bunch.
So that in an attempt to make Derek feel bad, Bean goes on the, I didn't expect to get for this long. I should be on your show.
So the first few months I said, I just don't think they've started filming yet. I'm sure I'll be hearing from Mr. Waters when the time is right. I'm all excited. I'm ready to fly out. I'm ready to do the show. And then I saw the news. Hey, Drunk History has just completed its third season. And it's going to be debuting on September 1st on Comedy Central. And in my head I heard, womp, womp, womp.
Right, but that didn't stop you from thinking that there was still some way, right?
Come on.
There's still some way that this could work out.
I thought it was all right with the baby. I thought that he just hadn't called me yet. But if you'd have come to me after the Derek Waters interview last time and said, what are the chances you're going to be on Drunk History?
Right.
I would have said 98%.
Right. What would Derek have said at that point? Just based on yesterday, I would guess he would have not even given it a 1%.
But I felt like listeners also got that impression, though. That's why.
Because you've been saying it all this time. It wasn't they remembered it. It was just you've been repeating it and repeating it.
I don't like it.
So then Bean's like, oh, you found some more younger, more attractive people, better stories.
So is it just
you're making me feel what alcohol does, guilty.
Oh,
and,
that's a shame.
I'm sorry.
No, I think you're doing the right thing.
I think I have to do this.
I back your play. Yeah, we're very happy with him the way he does it.
It sounds like you had too many awesome people already with too many awesome ideas to scrape the bottom of the barrel
yourself.
To get to me.
You can't do this to yourself.
Oh, don't do this to yourself,
You're not
Bean.
Like anyone else, Bean.
What are the highlights of season 3, Derek, that you're most excited for people to see?
Well, Kevin's telling a story. I'm excited about that.
Wouldn't that be the best?
That would be awesome.
Hilarious.
How about Panic at the Disco coming to K-Rock September 9th? They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space. You can win your way in all this week with Nicole on the Furious 5 at 9. That happens at what time? I can't.
Nine
tonight. Also, mm-hmm. You can go to krock.com, the contest page to enter there, and you can follow K-Rock on Instagram for details on how to win if you want to see that great band in person. By the way, I don't know if they're going to do Bohemian Rhapsody when they're in the Red Bull Sound Space.
That was amazing.
That was still one of the greatest weenie roast moments of all time.
Unreal. Unreal.
Has to be one of the most difficult songs in the world to perform.
Soon as they started, I was like, oh, they're just going to do a couple of bars. No way does anybody try that song.
Right. They're going to Kanye it, where they're just going to pretend and then do something else. But they are a terrific live band. So September 9th, the Red Bull Sound Space. If you're not lucky enough to win your way in, of course, make plans to watch it online for free.
Get a lot of response from people in different ways. We got Twitter. We got email. Kevin at K-Rock, Bean at K-Rock, Ali at K-Rock. You can text us at 2K-Rock if you'd like. This text came in from... it doesn't have his name. 559 area code. Where is Halloween Spooks? So
I think the 559, isn't that Fresno? I think that's maybe Fresno.
Fresno. Yeah.
But I do believe September 2nd might be
a tiny early
for Halloween Spooks, but I like the way you think because we're dangerously close to Halloween.
We're not dangerously close, but it's coming up.
Dear Kevin and Bean, here's one from Samantha on the topic we were just discussing last half hour. Okay, Bean, I'm very sorry to hear that you're not going to be on Drunk History, but I get it, and he was right. Derek Waters doesn't want to take your V-card and then show the world what he's done. He's being a gentleman. I'm bummed, but I understand. She's referring to the fact that Derek doesn't want me to start drinking just to be on his TV show.
By the way, I think that's probably a pretty good response. You've never had a drink.
Right. Am I the wrong guy to be on that show? You should just become a raging alcoholic just to show him. You don't need his stupid show.
Right, and then like in season 9 or 10, maybe you'll get a shot.
A lot of listeners have suggested that I need to demonstrate my own commitment to drug history by starting drinking and doing my own version of the show just to show that I'm down with it.
Mondays, or is it Tuesdays, at 10:30. Up against Drunk History.
Oh,
Periscope it live,
Bean. Right. You'll take all of the viewers away to your fantastic stories.
Got a lot of response to the dangers that face all of us as Americans from the unseen enemy. We didn't realize until that story in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago about that family that was attacked by, what was it, 9 raccoons at one time?
Yeah.
That they are organized
and
they are coming for us.
We're all going to die tonight.
Got a bunch of emails on that topic. Here's Marie. I was listening to the podcast in my car this week thinking raccoons can't be that bad. And suddenly I saw a giant cat in the middle of the road. As I got closer, I realized that it was, in fact, a raccoon. And he had at least 2 masked accomplices crawling out of the sewer to join him. I felt like he knew I was doubting his power. So now they can read your thoughts. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a friend who owns an apartment complex in San Luis Obispo. Apparently some raccoons died under the building. Well, it turned out they got infested by fleas, and the fleas moved into the complex, causing numerous residents to be eaten by fleas, too. My friend had to spend thousands of dollars fumigating the building. So the bottom line is not only are raccoons physically attacking people, they are also hitting our infrastructure post-mortem. That is terrifying. They're setting off a bomb after they're dead to take down humans. And one more on the topic. Hi, everyone. I'm a podcast listener, so I'm late on the raccoon response, but I could not resist emailing you my list of raccoon stories. I don't think I realized how many I had until you brought up the San Francisco attack story. I'm only going to read a couple of them. One, I live in Pollock Pines, about an hour east of Sacramento. Lots of wild animals, so no surprise that I hear raccoons call out to each other almost every night. Recently, I was taking my dogs out at night, and I thought I saw a cat, but no, it was a raccoon. In fact, there were many raccoons. They scurried up the tree, and when I shone the flashlight up the tree, I had about 7 pairs of freaky green eyes blinking at me. The other night, my husband saw 9 of them at one time, gathered around, just waiting for the right moment to strike. Now we have to do raccoon checks before taking the dogs out. It does make you feel like they're like in
it's
the
on.
Yard, just waiting for a moment to take you down. Story number 2. My husband is from San Francisco, tells a story about he and his brother getting surrounded by a band of raccoons at Fort Cyrus. They were headed to their car when they saw one, and then they noticed out of the fog came more, and they began to circle them. The guys made it to their car safely, but not before fending off the raccoons with sticks. And finally, you mentioned the crazy people that actually feed the raccoons.
Yeah.
By the way, what should be done with them?
No.
Well, my mom and dad are those people. They had oatmeal cookies on hand that they used to feed the raccoons with every day when they would walk up to their sliding glass door at their house. One time, I took an oatmeal cookie, popped it in my mouth, and I was told it was not okay. I was scolded and told the cookies were for the raccoons only.
crazy.
Maybe they brokered a deal with the raccoons. Like, we'll give you some cookies, but stay out of the house.
Oh, like it's protection money.
Yep.
Love the show. Love the podcast. Thanks for getting me to work each day with a smile on my face, Grace. Thank you, Grace. I'm glad you're still alive to be able to send us these emails.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I love your show. This is in reference to the cops that we were talking about. Do you look at a cop in the eye when they're matching your speed? What do? Allie actually pulls off the freeway. She actually exits.
Just avoid it.
I love your show. I put up even with the most ridiculous bits, like beer mug on the red carpet. But the cop that you had on made my blood boil. I'm referring to the a-hole cop that challenges drivers to exceed his well below the speed limit with the goal of putting them over if they undermine his authority. This guy got some people that were very angry about it.
Riled people
so
up.
He's referring to people on the freeway who are, a cop is going 50, and that makes everyone else slow down to 50 because nobody wants to be going faster than a police officer.
Unfortunately for all of the good cops out there, there are these a-holes who ruin it for everyone. And then he goes on for a while to say, it sounded like you guys didn't agree with him, but you gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was a cop. And at the end, he says, I would love to hear you guys elaborate on your feelings regarding this issue without the pressure of a cop on the other side of the line. It can't be only me.
Well, first of all,
the cops are always on the other side of the line.
First of all, Kevin, he's already run your license as a result of that conversation yesterday.
Right.
And you're going down.
Yes.
Look, I said this yesterday when we were talking about this topic. In the last week, I sped up to the speed limit, even though a cop was going lower than the speed limit.
Right.
But it would have come back to bite me in the butt if he had pulled me over for it. I mean, it's certainly a possibility, and I understand why people don't want to do it, because you're afraid of that. You feel like I must be doing something wrong going the speed limit if this cop's not going the speed limit.
Yeah.
It does put the drivers in an awkward position.
Not you, though, man. You can just ignore that and just pedal to the metal. I'm going to blow right by you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Flip them off. That's how you roll. And here's another one on the same topic. I was pulled over and given a ticket for 5 miles per hour over the limit on the freeway. I was just staying with traffic, not passing. I told the cop I was just doing 5 miles over, and he said he could pull me over for doing 1 mile over.
No.
The cop was a jerk, Craig in Upland. And I would like to say that the cop made the right decision. Craig in Upland needed to be pulled over because he was unsafe.
At 5 miles an hour.
Wow. Do we agree?
Yes. Yes.
Allie agrees. Bean?
No. No, I don't at all.
Oh, Bean disagrees.
You know, I spit in the face of authority.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What do you got, Allie?
I have one. I don't know if you guys remember Ralph's tirade about all things pumpkin spice.
Yes. He has curious cartoon hate for pumpkin spice. It seems like that would be the type of thing that you could avoid if you wanted to. But he's angry that others enjoy pumpkin spice.
Yeah. Well, here's a wonderful email from Elise. Part of the problem, poor Tally. She says, based on your enthusiasm, I wanted to let you know about our new magazine called the Pumpkin Spice Handbook. The Very Real print magazine contains 101 incredible recipes, all made with, you guessed it, pumpkin and spices to celebrate everyone's favorite season. Pumpkin spice bundt cake? That's in there. Pumpkin spice churros? We've got it. Even pumpkin spice cheesecake French toast rolls. But then at the end, she kind of hammers it home with him and says, don't hesitate to contact me with any questions about the magazine or pumpkin spice in general. I'd be happy to tout the splendor of pumpkin spice. Enjoy the spice season. And remember, fall is only just the beginning. That's how I read it. It was very aggressive
it
at the end. And I
much
appreciate
more aggressive
Elise.
Than I would have thought.
Now, why would you read that on the air and spoil the opportunity to give Ralph a subscription for Christmas?
Oh, that still may happen.
Because she has already taken the liberty of mailing out a copy to the station so that you too may enjoy the sweet, sweet aroma of pumpkin spice deliciousness in your own home. You can thank me later. Elise!
It is spice season, you guys.
Wow.
I love
and real
her.
Quick, to close out this segment, two that are very fast and baseball related. Hey, party people, I used to think that you guys were too hard on beer mugs until I heard him trying to defend his point on baseball athletes being the best athletes of the world. I have now seen the light. Please fire beer mug. Best wishes. Sean from the 562. And finally, we were talking about you missed out on something fun that your friends went to. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to be there and you weren't and something great happened. I love this. I didn't have time to call in, but I was listening the other day when you discussed the people who missed out on great opportunities. My father-in-law, on September 9th, 1965, was offered by his buddies a free ticket to a Dodger game. He declined because he had to study for a test. Older Dodger fans might recognize that date as the day that Sandy Koufax threw his perfect game.
Oh,
Dad. Thanks so much for getting in touch. You can email us, you can tweet us, you can write to us on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and you can always text us as well here on the world-famous K-Rock.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
The first song is the one that you performed on the MTV Awards called Do It with three zeros. Do, I mean O's. Do It. Shut up, Omar. I don't need your help.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Ralph, you've got a young child in the house.
I do.
About how old are you when you are able to distinguish the difference between letters of the alphabet and numbers?
She was 3, I think, when she made that distinction.
Okay. I was just curious. Just asking.
Yeah.
Hey, time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning. Here's Ralph Garman.
Hey,
Yes?
I just...
It sounded like it...
It's just that...
What's...
Use your words.
Racism.
We're against that, right?
I am.
Okay.
I don't know about you.
We are.
I sure am. And it's just, it's the continuation, the existence still of this subtle racism in the 21st century.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
It might be. It might
race
be on.
Race war.
It might be on.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
This is taken hold on the internet because the guy who's writing the latest James Bond novel, of course, James Bond, one of the most popular fictional characters in history, not only in films, which is an enormously successful franchise, but also in the world of literature as well. They've got a brand new author who is now writing the new James Bond movies, of course, Ian Fleming, its creator, long gone. It's called Trigger Mortis is the name of the book, and the author's name is Anthony Horowitz, and they were asking him what he thought about the Bond franchise in general, just James Bond in general, and they brought up the point that Idris Elba's name has been bandied about quite a bit to play James Bond. And so he said, I think he is probably a bit too street for Bond, a bit too rough for the part. Is it a question of being suave? Yes. So what he's saying is, he's black. So he
is
can't
that what
play
he's
Bond.
Saying?
Yes, it's exactly what he's saying.
Sounds
Kevin.
Like it, but...
If he says he's too street, in quotes, come on.
That's racist.
So people have picked up on that, and they said it's sort of inappropriate to say that publicly.
Well, yeah, he's saying that an African... I almost called him an African-American, but he's not. He's British.
Right.
Cannot
he's
play
a
suave, sophisticated...
Right.
...upper-class guy.
And
which clearly he can.
Which he... And he has already several times. So it's not even a question of is he capable of it. It's just a question of this guy trying not... Desperately trying not to appear racist while being transparently racist.
It sounds racist.
Right. That's what I'm saying. First Roger Moore, now this guy. What? Come on now.
This is why I haven't seen a Bond movie.
Right.
Because of this.
Sure. Allie has put her foot down. She refused.
Because that just happened?
Because yes, she knew back when Sean Connery was playing the role that someday this guy would say that. So she was being preemptively sensitive, and I think that's pretty strong of her.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Then in the world of professional wrestling, this was a shock to many of us. Superfly. Accused of murder. Jimmy.
That's racist.
No, it's not at all. Jimmy Superfly Snuka arrested yesterday after a grand jury in Pennsylvania decided he may have killed his girlfriend, Nancy Argentio, back in 1983.
What? Did you say 1983?
1983 is when the death happened.
What was the new evidence that came up?
He revealed details about his life in his autobiography that was published 3 years ago. And the police there in Allentown, Pennsylvania, opened up the investigation after they read his book. And details seemed to be suspicious regarding how he recounted the events of that day.
He sunk himself.
Yes. He talked too much. He spoke too much.
And he would have gotten away with it, Ralph.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids and their dog. Like G-Scoob! It's Jimmy Superfly Snuka! So, the wrestling world is on its ear. A lot of people saying.
Well, they'll always have Hulk Hogan.
Right. Whoa.
At least his reputation is impeachable.
Thank God.
Hey, here's a reason to watch Jimmy Fallon. Look for Donald Trump to appear on the show on Friday, September the 11th. Oh, hasn't the country suffered enough on September 11th? Really, we have to watch Donald Trump on Jimmy Fallon?
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
What do you bet Fallon comes out dressed like him?
Oh, so have you ever seen Jimmy's Trump?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's quite the event when he comes out and does his Donald Trump impression. Mm. But I bet you there's going to be a Trump off.
Sure.
I bet you somehow, some way, he'll work himself into the bit. Meanwhile, Republican hopeful Chris Christie is set to appear on Monday's Fallon show.
So the politicians are already showing up in the late night talk shows. Didn't used to be the case, but I guess Bill Clinton was the first one who sort of broke that barrier when he played saxophone on Arsenio Hall all those years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been a regular thing. Now, Bernie Sanders from the Dem side is going to be showing up on week two of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. So everyone is getting on the late night television to get their
who likes the idea of the wall? I love it.
Yeah, who doesn't? The wall. It's all about the wall.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
It's part of the beauty of you. And Miley Cyrus will be the host and the musical guest for Saturday Night Live's
yes.
Season 41 premiere on October the 3rd.
Yes.
Kevin, I hope she does some of the new album
for you. Yes. She better.
I hope she does.
I hope she does Milky, Milky, Milk.
Same.
Her pals, the Flaming Lips, will be her backing band on that show.
I don't feel like they're helping her with her career.
Well,
I don't feel like... I feel like her career is being hijacked by the Lips.
But they're bringing her a lot of good pot.
Do we call them the Lips?
Nope.
They do bring good weed, yeah.
They bring good weed, so that's all she cares about.
Whatever!
On the upside, however, The Weeknd will be the musical guest for Amy Schumer's show on October the 10th.
I was impressed with him on the MTV show
the
other night.
Yeah?
He was good.
And this is just for Kevin, because I know he's got a lot of questions. Ringo Starr has announced he's going to do a rare Q&A on September the 25th here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
His new memoir, Photograph, gets released on the 22nd, and it's full of rare pictures that Ringo has taken himself over the years. He's quite the photographer. He's going to be at the El Rey Theater, and you will get to ask Ringo questions and get to see some of the photos as Ringo tells the stories behind them. People are already starting to submit questions. The number one question is, who are you again? So we'll see how things go at the El Rey.
Ringo, I love you.
Well, that one guy will be there, I'm sure. Today's celebrity birthdays, Zedd.
Love Zedd.
Kneel before Zedd.
Nope.
Right?
No.
That guy?
Just EDM.
One from
EDM.
Superman 2, was
nope.
it?
Nope.
And then Superman goes, I'm going to get inside this case. I'm going to get all my powers removed. Ha! Wrong! It took the powers away from you guys!
That's not Zedd. Zedd is a DJ, EDM.
He was inside there. They were out here.
I don't think that's the same guy.
Cat Williams is 42. Salma Hayek is 49 years old today. How is that scientifically possible?
That's a good question.
The empirical evidence would point otherwise. Keanu Reeves is 51. Or is he?
We might need to play that highlight for his birthday.
What to celebrate his birthday?
The highlight of being talking
when being dumped on his career.
Keanu Reeves.
Those were good times.
Look, I feel bad about that.
There are many who consider you the worst actor of your generation. I believe is how the interview started.
That's how it
did
happened.
Did you never hear that?
It
out?
Happened. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I believe the first words out of Bean's mouth when talking to Keanu Reeves were.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
You know, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
God.
Who has the stones?
What?
Or
and that was in person?
Or the lack of insight.
I think I think it was a studio hookup kind of deal from another location.
God. Yeah, I don't think it was face to face.
I would not do that today.
That is some stones.
That's not nice. That's inappropriate. I apologize, Keanu. Who by the way is by all accounts literally the single nicest guy in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like kind and generous. Well, and he's been good in some movies since then.
Yeah. Sure.
So I feel bad about that. But thanks for bringing that up every year on his birthday.
It's just a little celebration.
Does anyone believe Bean feels bad?
No, I do. I really do.
A show of hands?
Hey,
anyone here?
I feel legitimately. I apologize.
Not a hand in the air.
I have my hand up.
Not a hand in the air.
Nope.
Like you just don't care.
I feel terrible about that.
I think you've heard people say that, and so you feel like this is the time to say that.
There was no
this
reason.
This is when the humans apologize.
There was no.
I'm really sorry about that.
I
said
feel
my
bad.
Programming.
He's a dick.
Come on.
I believe I have them fooled.
Happy birthday, Keanu. You're a nice man.
Right.
And a good actor.
Uh-huh.
And I wish you much success in the future, my friend.
Mark Harmon, 64 years old today. Not only is he a dreamboat, but also was a wildly successful college football player. Kevin, I know you're looking forward to the big games this weekend.
I am.
I heard you talk about that.
UCLA, Virginia?
Yeah.
And he was
he played for UCLA, too.
Yeah, he was a pro. Yeah,
right.
And, of course, his dad, Kevin, was...
Archie Manning.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Right?
Wow, they don't talk about him much, but they do his...
No, they come to the other side. They come to the other side.
Weird, they don't mention him.
Leave Mark right up the
list. Maybe he was with a mistress, maybe.
Harvey Levin of TMZ fame turns to 65 years old today. And speaking of football, Fox NFL analyst and legendary Steeler, Terry Bradshaw, celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The return of our friend Joe Rogan, that big, bald, beautiful man, Joe Rogan, will be here at 8 o'clock this morning for the hour. A lot of things to talk about, including the upcoming UFC 191 this weekend. And don't forget, all weekend long here on K-Rock, it's the Labor Day to Z Block Party Weekend. Come on. They put a lot of effort into that.
Well, you're not selling it very well then.
Starting Friday at noon, K-Rock is playing your Labor Day weekend favorite blocks all weekend long, counting down from A to Z. So that sounds fun, right?
Sure. I'm not a big Broadway guy, but I think if SpongeBob SquarePants the musical was on Broadway, I would want to go see that.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Because I like SpongeBob a lot. Maybe too much.
Okay.
Have you guys heard about the musical?
Not too much. Not too many details. It hasn't opened yet, right?
It's still putting together.
Okay.
It's about a year from now, maybe next summer. But right. Here's the report.
David Bowie is on a Broadway kick, and you'll never guess who he's collaborating with again. SpongeBob SquarePants. According to Entertainment Weekly, Bowie, The Flaming Lips, Cyndi Lauper, John Legend, and several other big names have signed on to provide original music for the upcoming SpongeBob Broadway musical. This is not the first time Bowie has visited the recording studio in A Pineapple Under the Sea. His vocal talents were heard in the 2007 made-for-TV movie Atlantis SquarePantis, voicing the role of Lord Royal Highness. The SpongeBob musical, complete with Bowie music, will make its debut in June of 2016.
Right.
Is this rock and roll suicide or a good career move for the man who sold the world?
Oh, my God. That's a terrible report. Sorry that we played that.
That's a terrible reporter, too.
Yeah.
David Bowie doing music for the Broadway stage for SpongeBob SquarePants. It's been a while since we talked to Mr. Bowie, but I believe we have on the phone right now. Hey, David.
Look, I'm going to be no one.
Well, we're great. Thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations, I guess, on this SpongeBob job.
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited about it.
You don't do a lot these days. Very little music coming out of you in recent years.
Well, it's a nice thing about having had a long career is that you only have to really work when you're motivated, when something grabs your eye, your attention, and something you want to work on, and you feel passionately about it.
Mm-hmm. Why do you feel so passionately about SpongeBob?
I just love SpongeBob. I just enjoy the program very much. I think it's very imaginative. Mm-hmm. And also, it's enormously fun to work with the people who are behind the scenes creating it.
Now, does there anything about SpongeBob that moves you musically, that makes you think, ooh, that's a great idea, I got to write a song about that?
Well, I've always been attracted to the fantastic, and the setting of SpongeBob's under the sea, and Bikini Bottom, and all the wild characters that populate that world are just something that I can play with and enjoy myself with.
Now, would these be rock songs, pop songs, what we think of as traditional Broadway songs with big casts? What are you envisioning?
Sort of amalgamation of all of it, I think. All the things that I've done, is all the influence. One influences the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the music will be, of course, appropriate for the stage, but also have a rock and pop edge to it, because I've only had that in my past.
Have you started working on it yet, Mr. Broadway?
Oh, yes. I'm well into it.
Oh.
And I'm in the studio as we speak, if you'd like to hear some of it.
Yes, that'd be terrific,
yeah.
All right, well, here's the first song I wrote for it, and I think it may be the opening song of the musical.
Oh, great.
His name is SpongeBob SquarePants. 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 His name is SpongeBob SquarePants, and his name's SpongeBob SquarePants.
I feel like we got that part.
His name is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay, well that...
He's SpongeBob, he wears SquarePants.
Okay,
it's obviously inspired.
Yeah, so. But it's just you saying his name is SpongeBob SquarePants. That's the whole song?
No, of course not. It'll be more impressive on stage when people are dancing around.
Okay, but I mean, those are the only lyrics, though.
As if you had.
Okay, all right. Hey, look, I'm not trying to rush you. This doesn't open until next summer. I was just surprised that you just kept saying that over and over again.
Well, maybe you like this other song better.
Okay.
His best friend's name is Patrick. His best name friend is Patrick. His best friend's name is Patrick.
Right.
His best friend's name is Patrick.
Okay.
And Patrick is a starfish.
Ooh.
Patrick, he is a starfish. His best friend's name is Patrick.
Right.
Did I mention he's a starfish?
You did, yeah.
You did, right.
All right, so you got SpongeBob there is in the musical, and then, of course, Patrick. So that's where you're at so far?
He's got a friend named Sandy. She is a squirrel from Texas. He's got a friend named Sandy.
It's like the same tune.
Yeah. She's a squirrel from Texas.
Not sure how many times we need to.
Sandy's a squirrel from Texas.
Okay.
And she is friends with SpongeBob.
Right.
His best friend's name is Patrick.
So he's put them all together.
Right. Did I mention he's a starfish?
Right. You mentioned that, yeah. All right, so you got...
Sort of introduces the characters.
Right.
Right.
And same melody for all the songs in the whole Broadway play?
He works at the Krusty Krab.
Right.
He works at the Krusty Krab.
All right, well, we're out of time.
Spends his day making Krabby Patties. They're like burgers, but they're not.
Right.
Because they're underwater.
Right.
And burgers would get soggy. But they don't call the Krabby Patties.
Right.
So when I say that, you just think burgers.
Okay. All right, I'm in.
I may have been away from music for too long.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. I am unfamiliar with these people, Justin Etzen and Lana Zakosila, but they had a wedding that made news recently because of an unruly guest at the wedding, and that's going to be the topic here the next few minutes on The Kevin Devine Show, guests that get out of control at your wedding. They got married on Saturday, August the 22nd, and it was quite a weekend affair in Italy, by the way. It was the most spectacular wedding, a source tells Us Magazine. There were 20 Cirque du Soleil performers. There was food from the Four Seasons from a Michelin-starred chef and a fireworks show timed to the music.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
That is spending a lot of money to get married, first of all. But that's not what the guests will remember. The guests will remember that this is the wedding that Lindsay Lohan got naked at.
There are a lot of reports. Like, they got married on a Saturday. On the Friday night, there are reports that she ran up, she would change clothes, come back down, cause some kind of reaction, a stir or something, run back up, change, come back down. Four times. Four times.
What's that about? I understand you ladies are particular about your outfits when you're going to a fancy event, but don't you usually change there in the room, like put on an outfit, decide you don't like it, and then put something else on? You don't run down to the party and get reactions from the party and then go back up and change and try again, do you?
I'm not sure she was
in her right mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds maybe like she wasn't.
So on the Friday night, the night before the wedding, where she's going back and forth changing outfits, she also apparently tried to DJ, pretending to DJ using her iPhone. She kept replaying the same songs over and over and over again and then accused people of taking photos of her, which one guest said wasn't possible because they took their phones away for that party, which was an Eyes Wide Shut themed party. But somehow Lindsay still had her iPhone with her, so I guess she's not playing by the rules. Can you just imagine her running around DJing, though?
I can't. And I feel bad for the wedding couple.
Of course.
Right? I mean, this is the bride's, like, this is her weekend that she's dreamed about, and Lindsay Lohan is just running around like a crazy person.
So this is probably the rehearsal dinner the night before, and Lindsay Lohan is running around with her iPhone pretending to DJ and playing The Girl Is Mine by Monica and Brandy over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The next day during the actual ceremony, Lohan was fully on her phone and was painting her nails, which was weird considering it was a very high-profile event. She also threw off her shoes at the cocktail hour.
Well, I get that.
At a fancy event. Things took a turn for the worse after an announcer cracked a joke about Lohan during the reception. The witness tells Us Magazine that Lohan then rushed out and claimed she had been drugged. Here's where it gets weird. She took off all of her clothes and got completely naked and was running around screaming that she'd been drugged. Look, we weren't there. We don't know. Based on what we have heard about Lindsay Lohan, if she got drugged, she was doing the drugging, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I would think so, yeah.
Doesn't it sound like?
Yeah.
According to a second source, an EMT came to attend to Lohan, but the star was deemed fine. She could walk and talk. She wasn't slurring or anything. She was just upset about a joke being made about her. She just wanted the attention, another guest says. There were also reports, by the way, that she wore a white dress to the wedding to upstage the bride. Her people said, no, no, the dress was actually light pink but appeared white in some photos. She was not trying to upstage the bride. So she does still have people who are defending her, and I'm sure will tell us that this was all just a misunderstanding.
But we can't imagine that this doesn't happen pretty much at every wedding. Anytime there's alcohol involved,
yes.
Yeah.
Somebody can't handle it.
Yep, there are emotions running high, and there are family members who have gotten together for the first time in a while sometimes, and there's tension involved there. But I think you're absolutely right. I think that that open bar probably leads to a lot of problems with wedding guests, and that's what we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We want to hear your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you were at a wedding and somebody got out of control and did something, look, I see stories every couple of weeks of a guest who falls into the wedding cake.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of things happen like that. We want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Or you can text us, too, at the number 2KROQ. That's 25767. We'll get your stories next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Minutes away from our friend Joe Rogan joining us just after 8 this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we are talking about wedding guests gone bad at 1-800-520-1067. Or you can text the show at the number 2KROQ. Lindsay Lohan is being talked about as being that guest who ended up being naked and rolling around and just acting crazy at a wedding. But it happens at all sorts of weddings. And that's what we're looking for. Why don't we start with right at the top at line one in Anaheim and go to our man, Sean. He's up first. Hey, Sean, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Yeah, so my wife and I were debating about having an open bar because she knows that my friends like to drink, and so we end up deciding that it's a good idea.
Right.
So we go to all the tables to do the meet and greets during the reception, and everyone has a shot of Jack for us waiting there. And so at the end of the night, we call cabs to go out to Huntington Beach to continue the party. We get in the cab, and my wife, for some reason, thinks she's able to throw up and spit it inside of a Gatorade bottle.
What?
Instead, she misses and throws up all over her dress. So it wasn't a guest that got drunk. It was actually my wife who got plastered.
That's pretty strong. And, at least it's the bride,
yeah. Right?
Right,
I mean, yeah, right.
At least she doesn't have someone else ruining her special day.
Yeah, she had a great time, and I guess that's all that matters. I had fun, too. I ended up putting her back in the hotel and hanging out with some of the groom's
by the way, night. But if she's vomiting at the end of the night, that's not the sexy time wedding night you were hoping for.
No, he put her to bed and went out with the guys.
Hey, Sean, I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. And Sean brings up a great point, by the way. If you can afford it, there's no reason to not have an open bar because weddings suck. And the only reason most of us are going to your wedding is because of the open bar. So don't deprive us of the open bar.
If you can't afford it, don't invite people.
Don't get married.
Thank you.
How about that?
Yes. Come on.
I think you're right. Let's go to line three, Woodland Hills. This is going to be Liz. She is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Liz, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Good morning. Along those lines of the open bar, my wedding, they only had beer and wine, which is a recipe for disaster because everyone brings flasks and their own bottles under the table.
Right.
To my father, who had spent all this lovely money, giving the speeches, you know, who's been married longest in the room, you know, just calling shout outs. Again, I had the college group of alcoholics.
Sure.
And they give a shout-out to New Jersey, my boy that came down, one of my really good friends. And they do the spotlight on him, and he is passed out on the table with the bottle in his hand of Jack Daniels.
Pretty sweet.
And, like, hears his name and, like, lifts his head up as the drool comes down and hits him in the lap, and then he just literally fell over.
All right, so
let me
ask you this question. When something like that happens, is it so spectacularly bad and funny that it kind of makes the wedding awesome?
Yes.
Well, let's hear from you, Liz.
It did make the wedding awesome.
It did make it's not the type of thing that ruined the wedding as much as,
no.
Oh, my God, I'm so glad that happened because it's hilarious.
Oh, no, everyone was talking about it forever. I planned my wedding so that the drunks wouldn't be driving, so I rented cabins within walking distance. And even later that night, I mean, the stories that unfolded, they ended up driving up Canaan Dune to go get more booze. I mean,
wow.
It was a disaster, but the story of the year and made it the best wedding
Sweet.
Because of it.
It's like wrangling cats trying to keep your wedding guests sober. Thank you, Liz. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Ivan, Long Beach, line 7. Actually, remind us at the end of Ivan's call, we have a best man speech story.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Ivan, what went wrong with the speech?
Good morning, guys.
All right, I'm at this wedding, my buddy's wedding. The best man ends up, like, drinking cocktails all afternoon long, and I'm telling him, dude, chill. Like, I got this. Fast forward to about 4 o'clock when the wedding is about to begin. All the groomsmen were behind the little area with the minister, the lady minister who was going to do the wedding. And she's, you know, she was a nice-looking lady. She's hitting on her.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to, you know, he's got to give the toast. He can barely stand, barely speak. And I kind of was reining him in, and, you know, I had to escort him off the little stage. I ended up having to give an impromptu little toast myself because no toast had taken place.
So he was too drunk to give his prepared remarks about the groom.
Oh, he could barely stand. He dropped a couple of F-bombs in there.
Sweet.
That's awesome. That's what you want with the bride's grandparents right there in the audience.
Exactly. So I had to escort him to his room, get a rush back down, and give an impromptu toast myself.
I love it.
That was something. And the bride, of course, my buddy's bride was the sweetest girl, but she was livid. I mean, she's understandable.
I don't blame her.
Thank you, Ivan. Appreciate the call. Kevin, whose wedding were we at where we had an encounter?
It was Lightning, our former producer.
Yes.
And we were dressed as monks, I want to say.
I think we performed the ceremony, mm-hmm. if I recall correctly.
Yep. We performed the ceremony, and then we went to – and then we – afterwards, I kind of got to the reception, and I got a drink spilled all over me, just head to toe before we even got there. And then Lightning's brother, like this last caller who was supposed to get up and give the speech, he started going, yeah, my parents always loved my brother better than me, and he got everything. He gets everything. And B and I are looking at each other like, what do we do? This is terrible.
We felt sort of like we were kind of in charge because we were the ones who were officiating this.
And that should never be the case.
We should never be. And you're right. And then he was like, it should be me getting married. And I don't know why all the good stuff happens to him.
Mom and Dad loves him best. We let it go for a while, and then we finally took the flag. We're like, all right, everybody.
But I feel like Kevin of 2015 would never have taken that.
Yeah, you're right. I've learned.
You would have just let it go for us.
I've learned to just let that go.
All right, let's try. Let's try Tiffany. Let's go back to line three, please. Now, this sounds like a win-win for everybody.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, so my bridesmaids were amazing. They were epic. They got super, super drunk while we were getting all ready to go. Got out to my wedding, had a great, great, great reception ceremony. Got into the reception. They decided to start giving lap dances to each other and to all the groomsmen.
Nice.
Yay!
Why am I the only one clapping?
Go on.
It was amazing. Grandpas were loving it. Let me just tell you, they were in heaven. It was so amazing. It just kept going the whole night. After that, we went over to get some more alcohol to go back to the hotel. One of my bridesmaids decided to take her top off and go into, like, the freezer section and push her boobs up against the doors.
Got to put them on the glass.
You got to put them on the glass. I mean, that's the rule.
Oh, yeah. We were loving it. It was such a great time. My bridesmaids made it truly amazing. I loved every minute.
You are an awesome bride.
I agree.
Awesome bride.
It didn't ruin her wedding. She loved it.
It made it better.
All right.
It made my wedding. Everyone still talks about it to this day as the best wedding ever to go down. My husband and I are about to have our 9-year anniversary in 2 weeks, so it's awesome.
I think she said dance.
Oh,
I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. No, best wedding ever to go down, I thought.
Oh!
Yeah. No, that is what I heard.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Tiff. Appreciate it. All right. We haven't had any violence yet, and I want to make sure we cover that. Because Sam is in Huntington Beach. He's on line 5. Look, I would expect more stories about people getting in fights. I mean, you would think with all the alcohol. Sam, what happened? Who hit who?
Okay, so this happened before the wedding even started, before the bar was even open.
Good.
Basically, the bride complained to the groom that the groom's stepmom was wearing white as well.
Okay.
So they got into this big argument in front of everybody, and his mom actually ended up slapping him, and her and his dad left the wedding. And now they ended up coming back, and I hadn't seen the dress until they came back. And so I'm expecting, like, a long, white, flowy dress to piss off the bride. The dress was black with, like, one strip of white at the top.
That's all it was?
That's all it was. It looks nothing like a wedding dress. It did not take away focus.
So the groom deserved to be slapped?
The groom definitely deserved to be slapped. They haven't spoken since, and it was all anybody could talk about at the wedding.
I love that they haven't spoken since.
That is a beautiful – you have a beautiful story.
All right, let's one more. How about Pasadena, line 8? This is going to be Michelle. Michelle, you're going to have the final word on this topic, talking about wedding guests gone bad. What happened?
Hi, old timey Dean. Hi, Kip.
It's great to hear from you.
So I was the one who ruined my cousin's wedding.
Yes.
When I was 18, it was the first time I met that side of my family. And my cousin thought it would be a good idea to get me really drunk before the wedding. My cousin, who was the bridesmaid, not the bride.
So did your cousin do this because she knew it would be funny?
Well, they're drinkers, and I don't think she thought that I would react that way.
But
I think she was like, oh, you haven't had a drink? You have to have a drink,
yeah.
Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got really drunk. There's video of, you know, when they announced the bride and the groom in the reception.
Right.
There's video of them walking and me following, trying to pants the groom.
trying to pants the groom.
Yeah, trying to pants. I tried to pants him at least, I think, like 5 times.
There's video of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then when the bridesmaid gave her speech, or one of the bridesmaids, it was, I just remember being really bored, and so I was heckling it because I thought it would be funny.
You were heckling.
Outstanding.
But the thing was, I didn't think I was heckling loud, but my parents said that I was, like, yelling. I thought I was doing it for the table.
Don't be so boring!
Yeah.
She's ugly. I can't believe someone married her.
Yeah.
Oh, Michelle, you're a delicate little flower.
And then the coup de grace was I kept getting drunker and drunker,
mm-hmm.
And then I threw up on the band. I just walked
yes.
up to them and I threw up on the
See,
band.
See, right there.
USA!
Right?
USA!
Indeed.
USA!
Right?
USA!
Keep doing what you're
USA!
Doing.
Right?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And I was just saying to my other very good friend, Ariana Grande, the other day, as we were going around licking donuts together.
You were licking donuts with Ariana Grande? Or what? Or however you say her name?
No, I don't know who that is.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Weren't our listeners just complaining last week how lax Kevin has been on his moments?
Yeah,
with?
I think Allie pointed it out.
Kevin hears and listens to our audience.
Yep.
And that's one thing you have to say about him. He responds.
He is coming through, man. He's on fire this week.
You really make a request, he fulfills it.
On fire. Kevin, be bad. Boom!
All right, you got it.
The delightful Joe Rogan is in the next room. He'll be joining us just after 8. Rob, is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
In Kevin's defense, Donald Trump said the name properly just seconds before he
That's
had
true.
It.
Right.
There's no way to retain that.
There's no way you can expect him to replicate that.
Probably less than 5 seconds.
How long?
Right?
How long do you think he has to hold that
See?
Information in his head before
Thank
he
you,
has
Ralph.
To call
Thank
on it again?
You.
That's unreasonable of people.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande? Down by the Rio Grande?
What's weird about that is I've never heard anyone else ever say it that way. So why would I?
Yeah. I don't know. Because you don't follow a path. You blaze a trail.
Thank you, Ralph. Again, thank
Boom.
You. I think.
Say goodbye to Daniel Craig.
Bye, Daniel Craig.
Hope you enjoyed him.
Is this don't tell me he's not going to be James Bond anymore.
He's not going to be James Bond anymore.
That makes me sad.
Are you pre-sad?
No,
because Spectre hasn't even come out yet.
I'm sad right now. If you're telling me this is his last go around,
is this
of 007.
His choice, Ralph?
Yes. In an interview with Esquire magazine, he said this more than likely is his final outing as James Bond in Spectre, which is due out on November the 6th. He said if he had to decide right there at the moment of the interview, he would be definitely leaving the franchise behind. He said, "I don't know. I really don't know. Honestly, I'm not trying to be coy, but at the moment, I can't even conceive it." He said of doing another James Bond film.
Does he say why?
Yes. He says, at this moment, no, I wouldn't do another Bond film because I have a life and I've got to get on with it a little bit.
How is starring in movies not a life? He's an actor. That's what he does.
Well, I think the Bond films take up an inordinate amount of time and energy, and he could probably do 2 films, maybe 3 films in the span it takes to shoot one Bond film. And take some time off in between and go about and do other things. I think he's obviously set for life. He's got an enormous paychecks from these films. And
I can see that.
And someone to pay him $10 million to be a romantic lead in a comedy that he could shoot in 3 weeks.
Do other films that would be less strenuous and leave him more time to pursue other interests. So,
all right.
I can see it. And being Bond is an enormous weight to carry, a mantle to carry, not just in the films, but in life. Everywhere you go, you're James Bond, right. And you carry that luggage with you. And it's the same thing that other Bonds have complained about. Connery, the reason he left, he got just tired of carrying that enormous luggage around with him. He wanted to do other things. And Roger Moore didn't really care because he just wanted the paycheck.
Do you have a name that immediately springs to mind as somebody you hope will be the next James Bond, or is it too early to even speculate?
There's a list of 20 talented British actors that you could pick that would be equally well-suited, I think, for the role.
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop, I think, for example, would be a great Bond. I would change the name to James Poop, actually. I would tailor the character.
Allie, would
to
you
his
see it
work.
Then?
If it was Dick Poop, hell right? Yeah. I'm in.
Poop. Dick Poop.
Ding, 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 ding. DJ Qualls?
One thing I would do is though I would back it up. I would back it up.
I
wouldn't reboot again, but I would pick a younger actor so we could get maybe more films out of him. Because a lot of names being bandied about, and I even said this before they picked Daniel Craig. I thought Clive Owen would always be a good choice. He's got rough edge to him. Idris Elba's name has been bandied about.
Yeah, Tree Street.
But being said, there was an author who said that he was too street. Whatever that means. It's like saying he's too urban.
Right. Yeah, that's a strange choice of words.
I'm not racist.
No, it's not because he's black. It's because he's street.
He's street.
He's too rap.
Clive Owen would be a great choice.
Too rappish. Well, but Clive Owen, I think, is too old now. I think he's older than Daniel Craig is. I don't know how many films. How do we get two Bonds out of
three.
Owen, maybe? Three?
Three,
tops.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, might be time to go younger.
These nuts.
These nuts would be great.
He's young.
While we're talking film, thanks to Bean for sending me this little article. Entertainment Weekly, talking to the producers of the Oscars telecast coming up in March of 2016. Producers have yet to pick a host for the show, but okay. They are currently working on it as we speak. David Hill, one of the producers, a former Fox executive who will produce the show along with Reginald Hudlin, said they're looking for a duo to host the show.
A duo? Why are you looking at us, Ralph?
That's the last place in the room I was looking, actually.
Nice try.
I was looking at Chip and Beer Mug before I was looking at you guys.
Just to nip this in the bud, we're not going to do it.
Oh, you're going to lay down the line?
We are not doing it. Yeah. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, don't even call
it's
us, Hollywood.
It's not happening.
If nominated, you will not run? Is that
right.
What you're saying?
That's right. If elected, I will not serve.
How about two guys named Key and Mother Lovin' Peel? Oh, how about those guys?
I love that so much. Yes, please.
I think that would be a great choice to have those guys do it.
It would finally be funny for once.
It would.
I feel like the Oscars take themselves a little too seriously to have those guys. I think it would be the best choice, but they seem a little older and more squarish. Don't you think?
No, I think you're right. Historically, they are. I think that's why the Golden Globes is getting, you know, why so many people look forward to the Golden Globes even more than the Oscars now, because you have, like, it's Tina fine. And Amy, perfect example of a show that's loose and funny.
But, Kevin, these two producers are first-time producers of the Oscars. They are a new guard. Reginald Hudlin was the former president of BET, for God's sakes.
All right.
One of the producers of Django Unchained. These guys are hip. They get it. They're relevant. This is not the same people who have produced the show year in and year out.
I love the idea of Key and Peele.
I do, too. I think they'd be brilliant.
Ariana
Grande's not on the short list of potential hosts. Dick Poop, apparently, is busy being James Bond these days. He can't host the show. They did mention Tina Fey and Amy Poehler as an example of
that would be great.
A duo of hosts that would be great. But I think, they've ended their three-year contract to host the Golden Globe, so they are available. But I think Oscars is much too proud to look like they're cribbing from the Golden Globes. They wouldn't want to look as if they poached those guys from another award show. So I think Key and Peele at this point, probably the most likely duo.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes. Let's get her and Tila Tequila.
There you go.
To host. And then it can just be an all plastic surgery, all Nazi Oscars, which is what we've all been hoping for years.
But it's
They're not likely to bring back Anne Hathaway and James Franco, though.
I wouldn't rule them out because they had a lot of star power.
A lot of chemistry,
those
two.
Kids. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry Bradshaw. You know him as one of the co-hosts on Fox's NFL Sunday show, but let's not forget, guys to sling the rock, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
And by that, it means to sell cocaine outside of tenement buildings in Harlem.
I think you meant he's a former football player, NFL great.
Oh, he did that, too. Yeah. Yes, right. But when you know, go on the road, he would sell a lot of crack.
I don't think that's true.
Pretty much.
I don't think so.
I'm going to have to check you on that.
I don't think so.
I'm going
to have to agree
up.
To disagree.
I'm going to have to find some... some facts to back up my story, but I'm pretty sure that.
Ralph, Terry Bradshaw was a national hero, America's favorite football player for a number of years in the 70s. How was that for you living on the other side of the state? And you must have hated the Steelers growing up, being an Eagles fan, right?
People always say that. And there is a certain amount of cross-state rivalry, but not as much as we hated other teams because we were so busy hating the Cowboys and so busy hating right. the Giants. I mean, it was an AFC thing. So
you never played them. So
never really cared about the AFC until it got to the Super Bowl. So if you're an NFC guy, you had so many other enemies before
gotcha.
You
So
got
you
to
could
the
admire
AFC.
Bradshaw then.
We did, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody. There was a lot of, back in the day, there were a lot of black and yellow jerseys on the playground, guys who were pretending to be Bradshaw and guys like that. Harvey Levin, 65 years old today. Mark Harmon is 64. Keanu Reeves, 51 years old today. Salma Hayek turns 49. Comedian Cat Williams, 42 years old. And Zed. Kneel before Zed. Oh, he's a DJ.
Yeah.
He's not an intergalactic villain.
No. Well, not this one. I mean, it could be. I don't know.
It'd be a lot cooler if it was. He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Joe Rogan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody.
Joe Rogan, who, by the way, this is Bean speaking. I'm in the studio today visiting town, so I don't get to see you very often in person. You are almost looking exactly like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now at this point.
What does that mean?
I just mean.
Is that good? Yeah. That's when he went nutty, right?
Yeah, that's when he went nutty.
That's not good.
They just shot up in the shadows because he's so creepy looking. That's where you're at, man, with the beard.
Hide in the shadows.
The beard, the bald man.
I woke up late.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't woke up. I woke up early for you guys. It took me only an hour and 15 minutes at 6 a.m.
Dude.
This is ridiculous.
It is, yeah.
Traffic here is so
crazy. It does suck.
Wait.
Yes.
The traffic is bad in Southern California?
You didn't know that?
It's so crazy. Every time I come here, you guys are my measurement because I don't ever drive into L.A. in the morning unless I'm coming here. So I do it once a year something like that.
For you, we're bad news.
But no, it's
just, I got to drive.
What you guys are is my measuring device for the overpopulation of Los Angeles.
So you come in, let's say you come in twice a year, and that's kind of just an update for you on how much worse the traffic gets every 6 months.
Yes, yeah.
Well, glad to provide that service.
From the time I moved here in 94 to now, it's really measurably crazy.
Well, we don't build a lot of new roads, and we get a lot more people.
A lot more people.
Yeah.
And people keep having babies.
That happens, yeah.
It's just, it's never going
to
end.
You're contributing to that.
I know, I'm a part of the problem. It's never going to end. It's never going
to
end.
Joe, we have so much to talk to you about. Obviously, this is a huge weekend for UFC with 191 coming up in Las Vegas. And Joe, you're doing the comedy show like you do the night before, right? So Friday night, you're going to be at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino at the KA Theater. Tickets are on sale now to see you there?
Yeah, I think they call it the Ka.
The Ka Theater. Okay.
The Ka Theater. Yeah.
You can get tickets at Ticketmaster or JoeRogan.net. So that's Friday night. And then Saturday night is UFC 191. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we need you to educate us. Drop some knowledge on us. Because we were talking earlier about, Ralph said that there is a treatment that ladies are doing where they're getting blasted with nitrogen. It's supposed to be good for their skin, Ellie? Is that the impression you got?
Well, yeah. It's the whole body. It's cryotherapy. It's
huge. So they get a cryofacial. Yeah. Cryotherapy is this thing that I'm really addicted to.
That's
I do it
why
all the time.
We're dying to hear about it because we look at that on the surface and we go, 200 plus degrees below zero, like that can't touch your skin, right?
Yeah, it can because it's cold. It's just air. And you can only maintain it for a few minutes. Like 3 minutes max is really what they like you to do. And they want you to get out of there after 3 minutes. When you go in there, when your body goes...
I feel like I'd want to get out of there sooner.
Yeah, you definitely would. I mean, it's not something you enjoy while you're doing it. It's kind of an interesting mental exercise, though, for me. It's just like I do it as just an exercise to like stay calm and be present because it's so brutally cold. That you just got to kind
of... Sounds terrible.
No, I just stay relaxed and realize you could be all right. You'd be all right for 3 minutes.
But
Joe,
hold on a second. If you walk outside and it's 20, it's cold. 20 degrees above zero, it's cold and you're uncomfortable and you don't like it and you want to be super covered up, you want to get inside.
Maybe you, bitch.
If it's zero, you feel like,
right.
I'm going to do some serious damage to my body if I'm out here for more than 5 minutes because it's zero freaking degrees. And you're talking about going 100 degrees, 200 degrees below zero?
270 degrees below zero is the coldest I've
ever
been.
That sounds like you're on Mars.
No, it's probably colder than Mars. You do it for 3 minutes, and then you get out, and then I warm back up, then I usually do it again for another 3 minutes.
What?
Your body produces something called cold shock proteins.
Okay.
And your body only produces them when you hit below 150 degrees below zero. And these cold shock proteins are incredibly beneficial for reducing inflammation and for any weird aches and pains and things you have. For a lot of fighters, they use it because, you know, constant the grind of two-a-days, strength and conditioning training, sparring, wrestling, you're getting beat up all the time. It's a massive reduction of inflammation, and it's more effective than what they used to use, these ice baths. The problem with the ice bath is you get in this bath, you sit in there for 20 minutes, you're freezing, shivering cold, and then you're done for the day. You can't train after that. With this, you can train almost immediately afterwards because you're not soaking in it. It's a different experience for your muscles. It doesn't tighten everything up.
How quickly do you warm back up?
Very quickly, within a couple minutes. It produces something called neoprenephrine, which is it actually makes you happier. It's like brain chemicals that are released that actually make you happier.
Are you positive you're just not happier that you're still that cold?
Well, you are that definitely happy that you're not that cold again, but there's something that's going on. Like what you're doing is you're hacking your biology. You're tricking your body into doing something because it thinks it's going to die. Your body's been dropped off in the North Pole. You're like, ah, it's over. And, you know, your body's like, oh, man, how long can we keep this going? And then when you get out of there, when you hit room temperature again, your body no longer has to do that work. Then the cold shock proteins and you know, these cytokines get released throughout your system. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I might be screwing all this up. But this is what I've learned.
Well, you know more than we do. So,
where do you go for something like that?
There's a place in L.A. called Cryotherapy. It's Cryotherapy Healthcare.
And you go into a little room like you were going to a sauna?
Yeah, I think it's called Cryo Healthcare. Cryo Healthcare L.A. I should know. I go there every day.
You do this every day?
I know the spot. I just know where the spot is.
How often do you do it?
Well, there's one in Woodland Hills out in the valley near where I live. I go there almost every day.
Four or five days a week.
Cryo Healthcare. Thank you.
You're not in training and you're not beat up.
But I work out all the time. And it has a great effect on weird injuries, back pains, and stiffness and stuff like that. It makes you feel better.
What do you wear when you go in there?
You wear underwear and I wear a face mask like a surgeon would wear, little earmuffs, gloves, and long socks and rubber Crocs. It's the only time I allow myself to wear rubber Crocs.
But no shirt?
No shirt. My nipples do get hurt. They hurt sometimes.
All right, good update.
You know. 270 degrees below zero.
But you get out, Bean, you feel like you could jump over the moon. You get out,
really?
You feel awesome, like you just want to run through walls.
Who needs that more than Bean?
Don't you feel invigorated when at wintertime and you go outside? Oh.
Yeah, but I think that's with it. Look, humans, as you know, Joe, you are the smartest guy I know. Humans have a very, very narrow range of acceptable temperatures.
We don't. We are pussies. No.
It's mental.
It's mental more than anything. Narrow in terms of the universe and the broad spectrums available in space, yes. But on Earth, you can survive like a lot more than you think you can.
But we complain a lot. Most of us have a sweet spot of about 20 degrees.
It's not good.
Either side of that, we're babies.
It's good to be uncomfortable.
Kevin, why don't you go down with Joe one day?
I don't want to.
Jump in the thing.
Some of my best times, I did a hunting trip in Alaska on Prince Edward Island, which is this rain-soaked, like the wettest part of North America.
I thought Prince Edward was over Nova Scotia. It's Nova Scotia.
Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales.
I screwed it up. That's morning. Prince of Wales is essentially like there's a lake. It's really cool. It's so high. There's no beavers up there, so you could drink right out of the lake. You don't have to worry about Giardia. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
The actual animal.
All right, gotcha.
But we were soaking wet and cold every day. When I came back to L.A., I felt amazing. I was so happy that I was in a place that was warm and sunny. And I'm like, how come I don't appreciate L.A. like this all the time? Because you have to suffer. You have to suffer in order to appreciate calm. You have to be uncomfortable to appreciate comfort. It's the lazy people that want to sit around and wake and bake and do nothing all day. They don't appreciate real downtime.
So you need to wake up in the morning and hit yourself continuously in the face so you can appreciate how great it feels to not be hit in the face.
That's doing damage. That's an incorrect thing.
I get
Run hills. Do something difficult.
All right. One more time.
Be uncomfortable.
Because people will ask us, what's the name of the place again?
Cryo Healthcare.
And is it super expensive to do that?
I forget. I'm rich.
I know. You don't think about money.
No, I think it's like...
He just signs whatever.
I forget I'm rich. That was sweet.
It's like 50 or 60. $50 a session.
Kevin, do it.
Along those lines.
Go do it.
I'll do it if you do it.
You should do it just to experience it once.
Would you take these guys, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that would 100%. Be fun.
Sure. They would love to have you guys, too. They try to promote it as much as possible. Kobe Bryant was one of the first guys that started doing it, but he kind of tried to keep it to himself.
shh.
Oh, really?
A lot of people do. They don't like, because they don't want other people to get that same edge, other athletes.
Oh, interesting.
Edge. But now the cat's out of the bag. It's too late.
Joe Rogan's playing at the Ka Theater at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino on Friday night. Tickets available through his website, joerogan.net or ticketmaster.com. And then when we return, we'll talk UFC 191 with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Joe Rogan is here, stand-up comedian, podcaster, TV host, UFC commentator. He's going to be in Las Vegas this weekend for UFC 191. Joe, if somebody had come up to you 3 years ago and said the UFC is going to soon be having chicks headline their fights and flyweight fighters headline their fights, you would have been surprised by that, right?
Stars
are coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised of women doing it because there was a lot of hype on Gina Carano long before the UFC ever had a female division. And I think that if the UFC had her at that time, it probably would have mirrored or mimicked like what's going on with Ronda. Mm-hmm. I don't think she definitely wasn't quite as dominant as Ronda, but she was still an excellent fighter. It was always possible. It just needed the right athlete.
How about flyweight, though? Isn't it amazing how tiny those little guys are and we all love them so much? Like, Mighty Mouse is a huge star. He was just here Monday,
especially compared to you. What are you, like 6'5 or something?
6'6,
like
yeah.
6'6. And he's probably, I don't know, like how tall he is, 5'3 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. What is he, 125?
What he weighs when he fights. He's not much bigger than that in real life. He's the best fighter in the world, in my opinion, pound for pound.
Why do you say that?
Technically, like what he does, like if you break fighting down to like mathematics, it's what I try to look at it. Like he gets outside of personalities and aggression and emotion, all these different things. Like what are they doing? Like how are they interacting with each other? He interacts with other fighters better than anybody, which means you very rarely see him in a war. You rarely even see him hit. And he's constantly dominating fighters, and he dominates them with speed and technique and being steps ahead of them. He's got an amazing trainer, and this guy named Matt Hume, who's been around MMA since the really early days. He was one of the pioneers of MMA. And Matt Hume is just – they call him the wizard, and he really is like a wizard. He really understands fighting, you know, on a very, very deep and high level. And what fighting is, it's what it really is problem solving. High level problem solving with dire health consequences.
Yeah, no kidding. That's how, trying to knock your block off.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. So when I look at it, I like it. Well, who's doing the best problem solving with the least consequences? And that's Mighty Mouse.
Now
and
he's
finishing fighters. He finished his last fight with literally 1 second to go.
That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Just because it was in the fifth round, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the fifth round with 1 second to go, and he had the fight won.
He was dominating.
I mean, there's no question.
He was trying to finish the guy constantly. That's his mentality. He's very, very sharp and very smart as a person. He's very intelligent and just relishes the competition, relishes the challenge. I'm a huge, huge fan of this guy.
I watched his fight with Dodson before. Mm-hmm. I watched it over the weekend again.
Yeah.
And you kept mentioning that he's in such great shape that he can bring that kind of energy, you know, all the way into the fifth round, and Dodson probably couldn't. Why?
Well, Dodson is an exploder. Dodson's a terrifying fighter, by the way. Dodson is He's the biggest threat to Mighty Mouse, for sure. And he's better now than when he was when they first fought. This is a legit threat to the world title against the guy who I believe is the best fighter pound for pound in the world. But Dodson might be the biggest freak athlete in the UFC. He can just flip through the air. He jumps off the top of the cage. Flips in the air and lands on his feet. I mean, he's an athletic phenom.
Like John Jones used to be.
John was never that way.
Oh, he wasn't.
John is an incredible wrestler and an amazing fighter. But John, he doesn't do stuff where you go, what is he? He's flying. Like, Dodson can fly. You know, granted, he's only pushing 125 pounds through the air.
Right.
He's a small guy, but, I mean, he's so fast. It's like, with John Jones, you have freakish length and reach and incredible strength and an incredible fight IQ, which is the ability to know what to do and not to do. Yes.
Right.
But what Dodson brings is this freakish movement that is very difficult to control. Like, he moves so fast that literally, if he's moving, your reaction time is just not going to be quick enough. You as a human being, there's action and reaction, and action is significantly faster than reaction. That's why sucker punches exist. And when I used to teach people self-defense, one of the main things I would say is, don't ever let anybody get so close that they can hit you. Like, if someone's coming to, don't get in these, like, yelling matches where your guys are right in front of each other, because you can get punched and it's up to them to decide when they pull the trigger, and you really won't be able to react in time. So in a fight, it's you know, it looks like, why doesn't that guy just get out of the way? Well, he doesn't even know the punch is coming until it's already hit him. So it's a matter of not being in a position where he can plant his feet and punch you cleanly. So you have to constantly be moving. And if you watch a guy like Mighty Mouse fight a guy like Donson, you will never see them standing in front of each other. You will never
because
see
because
like,
they're both afraid of the other
exactly.
guy being that quick.
In some fights, you'll see guys that are like lesser skilled or lesser experienced or tired, and you'll see them literally standing flat-footed in front of each other. I guarantee you, you will never see that with these guys. Because if they do, someone's getting lit up like a Christmas tree. There's just no doubt about it. If someone actually stops and pauses, these guys will be all over. The other guy would be all over him.
So they circle each other like you would if you were trying to lift up a poisonous snake with a stick. You know what I mean? You don't want to get in front of it so that it can strike you, but you need to figure out a way to get to it and move it.
Yes. This is how you can look at it. Like we're having a conversation. You talk, and I understand what you're saying, and you understand what I'm saying. Fighting is like a language. It's like a conversation. You're having a conversation. You're exchanging, but instead of exchanging words, you're exchanging blows. And some people can dominate conversations, and some people can't.
That's interesting.
It's like there's communication involved.
It's a conversation where you're getting hit in the face.
That's not a good conversation.
Like, say if you have a very strong opinion about something, mm-hmm. and then you have this a-hole who's trying to silence your opinion on something that you feel is morally right, and you guys get into an argument, but you have the facts and you have the confidence and you tell that guy what's right and what's wrong, and he's yelling over you while you're doing it, and sometimes in those exchanges you can see someone is just way better at talking and way better at communicating. Well, fighting is kind of the same way.
That is so interesting the way you put that.
Yeah.
Did you recently come to that conclusion, or have you thought that for a long time?
I've been studying it. I mean, I guess this sounds like I'm a scientist, but I mean, I've been thinking about it since I was a little boy.
That is a really interesting analogy. And by the way, speaking of Mighty Mouse, because we've had him on the show a couple of times now, he doesn't seem to me... Obviously, he's a great fighter. He's got that eye of the tiger. He can turn it on in the octagon when he needs to. You hang out with that guy in person, he is so chill.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He doesn't look like a guy who's got that fighter mentality going all the time. Like some people you feel like can't turn it off. They're always like angsty. He's not like that at all.
That's why he's the best. He's the best because he doesn't get trapped up in all the ego and all the nonsense. He doesn't have this need to prove to anybody that he's the baddest guy on the
planet. He just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV and drink beer and play with his kids. Yeah. I mean, that's what he wants to do.
And he's a little tiny guy. You know what I mean? So, like, his life, he's never been intimidating. Like, one of the things I tell people if they want to learn jiu-jitsu is learn from a small man. You want to learn small man jiu-jitsu. Because if you learn from a guy who's, like, really big, big guys can overpower you. They can use their weight. They don't have to learn technique. If you learn from a small guy, like the really small people traditionally are the most technical. It's because they have to rely on being in the exact correct position, the right leverage, the right understanding of what the consequences of each position are.
Because he was so small growing up, I mean, I guess if you're a little tiny person, kids being kids and bullying being mm-hmm. bullying, I guess you have to figure out some sort of defense to that.
Yeah, you either become really funny or you become, you know, a real badass. I guess he went the badass.
Yes, he went the badass. UFC 191 is the rematch of Johnson versus Dodson 2 at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Main card airs live on pay-per-view at 7 o'clock. You can still get tickets for that.com. And, of course, on the pay-per-view, you'll be seeing our friend Joe Rogan doing the commentating. One more segment with the man when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way,
tomorrow is Thursday. It's our weekly visit with Dr. Drew, also Jim Rome talking sports. And we got a lot of requests for Lee Ritten. The traffic defenders
Close.
Guy is going to be on tomorrow. And he's going to be talking about all the ways you can get out of tickets. So that's tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe, congratulations on the podcast, by the way. Still going strong. How many years have you been doing that now?
It's almost six. It'll be six in December.
And you're a guy who is incapable of having a conversation that is less than 2 hours, right?
No, I've had
them
no that are
shorter. There's no chit-chat. Imagine how long it takes Joe to go to the grocery store. Well, he has to talk to everyone for 2 hours.
I'm just a very curious person, and I like talking to
people. That's what
people.
I love about you, and that's what I love about your show. You had a dream guest this week on the podcast, and I bet it's going to be one of your most downloaded episodes ever. You sat down with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. That was a great – Ronda had been on once before. It was right before she fought in the UFC. I think she was fighting for the Strikeforce title back then.
Wow.
That was the last time she'd been on. So.
Did she come on because you cried? Do you
yes.
think?
That's how I get them on. I didn't really cry.
Did you get more response from that?
But I almost cried when I was interviewing her after the fight. But I did cry on the show during the podcast. One tear.
What is it about Ronda that gets you so makes it you well up?
She's very emotional, and I think that some of that somehow or another comes through. And I really like her. I like her as a person. I like her as this, like I described her off air. I think she's like a mythical creature. She's like this cultural anomaly that's like never existed before. She's like a Charlie's Angels movie on steroids, but she's a real person. And she's very smart, you know, and she's just like really intense and very smart. And there was a lot of that, the lead up to that. The woman was, that she was fighting, Betch Kohea, apparently had alluded to her dad committing suicide and hoping that Rhonda didn't commit suicide after she beat her. And, and you know, having daughters, and that's just, it was, there's a lot there. There was a lot going on. And when she knocked her out, after she, Rhonda knocked her out, she goes, "Don't cry."
Yeah.
And then walked away from her. It was like, whoa.
And then strutted around this stage, strutted around the octagon like she was in a movie.
In Brazil, by the way, against a Brazilian opponent. Let's remember that.
And they were cheering for
her. They were cheering for her.
This never happened before. I've been to Brazil many times for fights, and they're extremely proud and very nationalistic. They love their Brazilian fighters. Mike Pyle knocked somebody out over there, and they were chanting this chant. And so I said to my Brazilian friend, I said, "What are they saying?" And they used the derogatory word for homosexual. Mm-hmm. The entire crowd was chanting that he's a homosexual.
Because he knocked out the Brazilian fighter?
That's all he did. He didn't do it disrespectfully. Huh. He didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, whoa, these people
tough
are crazy.
Tough
this
crowd.
Was the first big event that we had in Rio. And we've had some since then, and they've become more accustomed to foreign fighters being on their soil. But that was a big part of what was going on. It was like the defense, the nationalism of Brazil. She transcended that for the first time ever. The girl she was fighting was holding up this Brazilian flag everywhere she went, like to try to get the – people were still booing her. Like, Brazilians were booing her with a Brazilian flag. And then they were cheering Rhonda. It was crazy.
The only athlete that even comes close in my mind to what Rhonda has accomplished is Serena Williams, who's done it in 20 years. Rhonda, it seems like, has done it in 3.
But Serena Williams has a lot of, like, extremely high-level competition. You know, she's playing tennis against some really competent women. There's Rhonda, and then there's everybody else. Rhonda's just, like, her technique is so insanely good. Like, she has the best expression of judo I've ever seen in MMA. She has the best armbar technique I've ever seen in MMA.
Which men, she hasn't women, even been winning everything. With lately, by the way, which is amazing.
She wins with whatever she wants.
Whatever she wants.
She's
practicing
on these chicks.
So, with all the talk, and it's been going on, you know, she defended her title 4 or 5 times in a row, and people are like, well, now she's running out of people. She's starting to repeat, you know, fighters. And the Holly Holm fight is announced for November, and you're not crazy about that, right?
Well, I like Holly Holm as an opponent. That's not... What I thought was it's not a smart time to do it, because I think Holly Holm is a world-class striker. She's a multiple-time world boxing champion, a kickboxing champion. She is the most legit as far as like her credentials and what she's accomplished, her accomplishments. She's the most legit striker in MMA. I mean, she's as far as like a multiple-time world champion striker entering into MMA and then fighting for a title. And she's had some really incredible success outside of the octagon. But inside the octagon, she's only had 2 fights. She fought against Raquel Pennington, who's a really tough girl. And Raquel, who recently beat Ashley Evans-Smith in like one of the most spectacular, she got her in a bulldog choke and choked her unconscious with like 1 second to go, and the fight ends and the girl's face planted. Wow. It was insane. Blood everywhere. It was crazy. I love her. So she fought her and had a very close fight, and then she fought Marion Renault and beat her pretty decisively, and now title shot. I think the world doesn't know Holly Holm yet, and I would like to see Holly Holm fight against someone like Amisha Tate, or fight against someone like, you know, someone where we could see it in a high profile like Fox type situation where the world can see what Holly Holm is capable of. It's not that Holly Holm's not competent. And the other thing is, Holly looks so good outside the octagon, and it's taken her a couple fights to relax and really show what she's capable of inside the octagon. There's something that's real called octagon shock, and it's the UFC is such a huge moment for these fighters when they're first there. Even Daniel Cormier, who had competed worldwide as a wrestler, won the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. He said his first fight in the UFC, he was just overwhelmed with anxiety and just the adrenaline rush and the dump of it all. It's just crazy. It's a crazy moment. So it takes a few fights for them to relax enough so you can see what they're actually capable of.
And you don't think she's going to relax enough to see what she's capable against Ronda Rousey?
She might.
And in such a tiny venue. Well,
yeah, it's only 70,000 people. She might be. This might be her coming out party. You see, this, the thing about a fighter like that is it takes a few fights for them to relax and show capable of. And this is sometime maybe the best situation where people don't expect you to win because the pressure is not on you.
I can't even imagine what the odds are going
to
be.
They're
going to
be nuts.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be like 10-1 or something nutty like that. But she is capable of winning, especially if Ronda decides to stand with her. If Ronda decides to stand with her, she will without a doubt be the most competent striker Ronda has ever faced. Not just stand, most likely in the gym ever, anywhere.
Interesting.
I mean, she's Holly Holm's legit. She's very dangerous. She knocks girls out with head kicks. She's got really fast hands.
Can she cut a bitch?
She'd cut a bitch. And her trainer, Mike Winklejohn, is one of the best striking coaches in the world, period.
All right, Joe, let me ask you one more Ronda question. Then we're unfortunately
out of time. As is Greg Jackson, one of the best MMA coaches.
And that is, what is going to – how is Ronda going to maintain that drive that she has as an underachiever? Because she's always talked about how losing that gold medal at the Olympics was the best thing that ever happened to her because then it made her strive for the rest of her life to capture – you know, recapture that moment that she didn't have. Once you're the champ for this long, you beat this many people so decisively, how do you continue to get that underdog feeling that you need to motivate yourself?
Well, your motivation can shift. It's a matter of keeping motivation, but it's not a matter of the origin of the motivation. Like, her motivation might now be greatness. Her motivation might now be to go down as the greatest fighter of all time instead of just going, you know, instead of making up for past failures. Like, F-ups, when you screw something up in your life, it could be one of the best things that ever happens to you because you can fuel yourself with that.
That's how we look at this show, by the way.
That's a good way.
This show has been a disaster.
I didn't mean to talk to you guys about that. I'm so glad you brought it up before I did. I think her motivation now should be her legacy. I don't think she's going to do it very long. You know, she said on my podcast she's going to stop in her 30s.
I heard that.
Early 30s, like 31, 32, and that's it. And I think she will.
She'll be a movie star by then anyway, right?
Yeah, she's already one right now if she wants to be.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody's dying to put her in movies.
Well, you got some great stuff coming up in your day job, man.
Yeehaw.
UFC 191.
That's my side gig.
Oh, that's your side gig.
That's my side gig.
Technically, yeah.
The UFC is my side gig.
191 is happening this weekend in Las Vegas. Go to Ticketmaster.com to buy the tickets if you want to be there in person. Of course, the pay-per-view starts that night at 7 o'clock, headlined by Mighty Mouse versus Dodson, the rematch. And Joe is going to be appearing the night before. That's this Friday night in Las Vegas at the Ka Theater, the MGM Grand Hotel
and
Casino.
With Greg Fitzsimmons and Ian Edwards. It's two of the funniest guys.
Wow, those are smart guys. You're the dumbest guy on that bill. I mean, really.
It's true. I'm up there.
Joe, we appreciate you, man. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you. I appreciate you. I love you guys. Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that it's not possible to make everyone happy at all the time. This isn't possible.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Every hour we have a new moment with from you? Every single hour today?
I just am reeling because so much awesomeness. I just can't stay awake.
Kevin, what is
Shut up, Bean.
No, I'm asking a legitimate question.
Hey, there's no way to speak to another person, okay?
What is your first language is what my question was. Because your English is very good.
Drunk
for a second language. I'm just wondering what your first language is. All right. Kev Dog, eat dog. Kev Dog. Brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup with some very funny Kanye-related stuff you want to stick around for. Right now, Ralph's got the show is beat here on a Wednesday.
We have it in. It's official. We've got the list.
The list of
the Dancing with the Stars Season 21 full cast. Yay! Finally. Finally revealed. It was officially announced on Good Morning America this morning. I know there's been lots of rumors, lots of innuendo. But we finally have the official list. And I got to tell you, it's just as exciting as promised.
Rodney on the Rock.
Dancing with the Mother-Loving Stars.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande did not make it.
Fred These Grande. Nuts.
Fred Grande from The Love Boat, oddly enough, is on the line.
Strange.
Which is strange. Gopher. Gopher.
You're kidding.
Gopher.
Please tell me you're kidding.
No, I am kidding.
Okay, good.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio is not available.
Okay. The Monkees.
The Monkees, most of them are dead, so I don't think they will be on the show.
Now, the names that you had given us previously, Ralph, were not exactly
big names.
Not
big names. I teased you with some big names, hoping, just crossing my fingers that they would be on the list, and luckily they have made the list. Bindi Irwin, I can confirm, will be dancing.
Oh, thank God. We get to see someone who's related to someone who used to be famous on the show.
Bindi will be there.
Okay.
One.
Do not expect her dad, Steve Irwin, to be in the audience cheering her on, they say, however.
Too soon.
He is preoccupied.
Too soon.
What?
He's dead.
I didn't even know he was sick. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well played.
Thank you. I had to reach back to Gilligan's Island for that one. That was a good one. Bindi Irwin, as I mentioned, will be on.
Right,
Paula Deen, I talked about earlier. She is confirmed. Nick Carter, we knew from Backstreet Boys. He also in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention that Hayes Greer is going to be dancing, and he will be, in fact,
Vine Star, apparently.
Vine Star. How are those two words ever put together to mean a thing?
These kids are making a living being Vine Stars.
Listen to me. Listen
to
me.
A lot of money.
Listen to me.
Viewers,
I
man.
I have no problem with people following people and looking at them on Instagram, their pictures or their little things, whatever they do. But let's not confuse that with real celebrity and real talent,
like
okay?
Right
no,
now.
It's true. It's like, oh, this person, let's put them on top of it because this person has a lot of Instagram hits. People watch her and her food choices. F those people. Enough.
I agree.
Tell me what Hayes Greer does on Vine. What's he do?
Sure.
I think he's just cute, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Isn't that
my point?
He's just cute?
That's my point. That's not enough of a thing. It's not enough of a thing. It's a thing, don't get me wrong, and I appreciate it's a thing, and it's the people who just want to watch cute. I get that, but it's not a thing.
But he's making a living just being cute.
Listen.
No, he's not. A lot of these people aren't just cute. They can be funny in 6 seconds, and that seems like it is talent.
Is Hayes Greer one of those people?
I'm not positive.
Well, then
I follow
tell
a lot
me.
Of people. Okay, I'm just saying. A lot of the people that I follow that have millions of followers can do that. They can be really funny in only 6 seconds. That's a talent.
Listen.
Okay.
Being funny for 6 seconds?
Yeah.
If I fart, that's funny for like 3 seconds.
Right.
It doesn't make me eligible to be a celebrity on television.
But on Dancing with the Stars, you're fine. You'd be fine.
If he... Listen.
Yeah. All right.
Don't make
Let's
me
continue.
Fight this fight now.
All right.
By the way, what do we got?
Let's
get 2 minutes left. I'd like someone to call in who follows Hayes Greer on Vine and pitch me Hayes Greer. Tell me why he's so wonderful and why he's on a show. He's 15, he's on Vine, and now he's on a network. I'm just saying that's quite a leap.
I don't think we'll have any trouble getting a fan to call in.
Okay.
Also, call now.
1-800-520-1067.
Okay. I love you.
Right, I love you, too.
Thank you, Del.
Andy Grammer will be on the show.
He's a very talented singer-songwriter.
Yes.
She's very popular right now.
Which will come in handy when he's dancing.
That Honey, I'm Good song?
Alexa Vega. She was one of the Spy Kids.
Okay.
Look, she was in movies. I can see that. Look, it's a fall from grace. Don't be wrong. She's dancing for a mirror ball, but I can see why she would be a choice.
Right. At least she's an actress.
Right. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Isn't she
Chaka Khan?
60-something?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got to be. But they do that like the Patti LaBelle in previous seasons.
She's had a career. She's done some. She's generated some sort of entertainment value in her life. I'll give her a pass. Carlos Pena.
We like him. The actor, right?
That's Michael Pena. I know Michael Pena.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of then.
Carlos Pena? Anyone?
I'm unfamiliar with Mr. Pena.
Brother of Michael?
Maybe he's on Instagram. Maybe he's cute.
Are you serious?
Allie's going to look it up and see
look
who,
up Carlos
who Carlos
Pena,
Pena
is.
Again, the show is called what?
It's Dancing with the Stars.
Stars, that's right. Okay.
Carlos Pena?
Is he a baseball player? Possibly? Or
we were
an
going
actor.
To you for an answer.
Well, there's two.
Maybe he's a baseball player and an actor. Then he really deserves
These
to be in the
apparently
show.
Apparently two different people. Is he Carlos Pena Jr.?
Nope, just Carlos Pena, as far as I can see from this list.
There's a baseball player.
Okay. Well, look, they do use sports figures on this show a lot.
Yeah, they
so
do.
It's very possible he could
Dave
be a baseball
says he's
player.
From Big Time Rush.
All right, there you go. It's Big Time Rush.
Completely different guy altogether, all right?
Oh, wait a minute. He's married to Alexa Vega, I'm being told.
So he's married to Alexa Vega.
So they
this
are
is an
a...
actor. This is not the baseball player.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Good. That's a strong lineup.
His mom is Margarita Pena. As
well,
far as Carlos.
As long as
the junior.
As long as Margarita's in the mix, then I'm all right. I'm on board. Alec Scarlatos.
Sure. He's because
Alec, get to work.
I'm going
to
look.
Alec A-L-E-K Scarlatos. S-K-R-L-A-T-O-S. Scarlatos.
Here's my point. We shouldn't have to be looking people up.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
By star, the definition of the word star, you would think it'd be instant name recognition. If you didn't follow their body of work, instant name recognition.
At least you've heard of the person, exactly.
That's why Chaka Khan. I don't listen to Chaka Khan's music, but I know the
you've
name. I know she's somebody who's done something.
She's every woman.
Could Alex Scarlatos
Shut
could
up,
be... That's good. But could he have been one of the guys in France that took out that guy on the train?
Why are you asking us questions?
I told
you
to look
at him. You're the one looking at the internet.
All that comes up is his Facebook profile, and he looks like the guy from the train.
All right.
Is it? He was in Train?
No, the
band? Maybe he was in Train.
That would be.
Ali's asking if it's possible the guy who became famous 2 weeks ago.
He's one of the Marines who shot the French gunman.
Because they usually have
a
military guy.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is that possible?
It's possible. Of course it's possible. Anything's possible with this show. That's why we're so confused. Because it could be anyone.
Should we talk about Hayes Greer?
You got a Hayes Greer fan? Yeah.
Kevin, God damn it.
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong button.
Let's go to Chelsea.
You should always have that at the ready, though.
Chelsea, line two, calling from Whittier. Tell us about Hayes Greer. Should we be excited that he's on Dancing with the Stars or not?
No, absolutely not.
What's he do?
He doesn't do anything.
He's cute, though, right?
Is he cute, like Bean says?
No, well, I'm 22, so he's cute as a kid, but no.
What's he do on Vine? What's he do on his Vines?
So, if you imagine Vines, it's like 6 seconds of funny things,
right.
I guess, you know? But it's like watching, and if you're just on a general feed of what's popular, you're basically watching him and his brother and all of his other 15-year-old friends just like fart around for 3 seconds, like you would say. It used to be okay, now it's just like, it's awful. I deleted Vine, and I was like, this is terrible.
Wow, you quit Vine because of him.
He drove you off the Vine.
Yeah, I quit Vine because of him and all of his friends.
Okay, all right, good.
So suspicions were confirmed.
Well, so you were attracted to him at one time just because he was cute and he was a new face and he seemed fun, but then you got bored with it fast.
No, I wouldn't say I was ever attracted to him. But
Bean will not hear of him not being cute. Bean insists that he's cute. He's cute, damn it.
Bean has a crush on Hayes Greer.
Oh, man.
We know that much.
Thank you for calling, Chelsea. We appreciate it.
All right. So my suspicion was he's talentless, and I think it's being borne out because the one caller we got said, he sucks.
Okay.
He sucks on Vine, by the way. He can't muster up 6 seconds of entertainment. He lost her at 4 seconds.
But he's cute.
He is cute.
He does have that.
Allie,
have you gotten confirmation that
he's cute, right?
The guy who's from the train?
Army National Guard specialist.
There we go.
Alex, how about that? So 2 weeks ago, he's just a guy on vacation in Europe, and now he's on Dancing with the Stars. Isn't that crazy?
Tamar Braxton.
Sure.
Now, she's one of the talented Braxton family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's a Disney kid, I think. Tamar
Wait, there's
and
more
Tamia,
names? We're
it?
Not done?
No.
No. Isn't she one of those?
The
Maori.
Twins. Those are the Maoris.
Yeah, the Maoris.
However, she's Braxton on a show the with sister. One of the Maoris.
She's a sister of Tony Braxton.
She's on the dish or the chew or the talk.
Or the meat or whatever.
The meat. No, she's on
from
that
the leak.
Show. With Lonnie Love and seep. One of the Maori.
She's on the ooze. I'm so tired of these people. Oh. Kim Kolciak.
You're not done?
No.
They're all dead. Come on now. Holy cow.
Kim Kolciak.
Who's that?
She's one of the mothers of invention. No.
She's the wig lady.
One of the,
she's the wig lady.
She's
the
one of the wives. She's one of the housewives.
In Atlanta.
Of one
always...
of the cities. Where all the housewives are, she's in one of those
all
cities.
All right, good.
Atlanta.
Beverly
she
Hills,
has a wig
New York.
Line.
Right.
Where's the, she big, would fight with Nene all
where's
the time.
Big, big
I saved
name.
The best for last.
Okay, good.
This one's going to make you, this one's going to make you watch the show. That's how good this one is.
Okay.
This one is exciting enough for you to say, I'm going to watch.
We've all heard right? of this person.
You not only have you heard of this person, you have worshipped at the altar of this person.
Oh, tell me.
You will pay. You'd pay. If this was a pay-per-view event, you'd pay cash money to watch this person.
I would sit
in
through Nash Greer to get to this guy.
Easily.
Okay.
Well, Nash, Hayes Greer, first of all. It's Hayes Greer. And he's cute, by the way.
Oh, wait. It's not even Nash Greer?
No, it's Hayes Greer, his brother.
Oh, that sucks more.
Yeah. And the fact that you know someone who's named Nash Greer really bothers
me. He's got really
blue
eyes.
Didn't Don Johnson play Nash Greer on a
TV
series of the same name?
Another name.
We do, and I'm not overselling this, but I'm telling you, you'll be excited.
Is it Gary Busey?
It's Gary Busey!
I was totally making a comedy joke.
It was.
What?
Absolutely spot on. Gary Busey's going to dance with the stars.
What?
Gary Busey, who left the better part of his brain pan on Sunset Boulevard, is going to be trying to make his body move in a synchronized movement with music.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
All right. Now
you
I'm
got
in.
Through that. That's, I told you.
Now I'm in.
I told you.
That's something else right there, man.
I agree.
That's
right.
Something else right there. Right. We're way over time here. Celebrity birthdays, DJ Zed's 26, Cat Williams is 42 years old, Salma Hayek turns 49, Keanu Reeves is 51 years old today, Mark Harmon 64,
Our pal Harvey Levin of TMZ fame is 65 today. Terry Bradshaw, 67 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a website now, you guys, available on something called the internet. You just apparently type in krock.com and you get to see lots of cool stuff, including a mean internet roundup.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the internet roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, internet, come on baby, watch some. And now went for the internet, a roundup, yeah!
What's up, El Rey?
Yo, yo, yo.
Dave Sanchez, producer of the Kevin Bean Show, the king of Mexico, puts together the roundup for us every week. We've got a pretty good batch for you. One that we're not going to play audio for you, but is still a great video to watch, is called Dismaland. I know this is your favorite video of the week, Dave. What's it all about?
Banksy, the artist Banksy, created a whole, I guess he calls it a bemusement land.
Mm-hmm.
And,
instead of an amusement park, it's a bemusement park,
yeah.
Right?
And it's just a bunch of art that he pieced together in London. So it's a whole theme park of art.
It's very sad and very depressing.
Yes, it is.
So if that's what you're looking for in your day today,
you need to be brought down.
Right.
Go there for
check
that.
Out the Dismaland video. All right. As you can imagine, there's a lot of videos this week that involve Kanye West because of his epic speech that he gave at the MTV Video Music Awards on Sunday night. Somebody has recut his speech on stage where he was accepting the Video Game Vanguard Award and turned it into a stand-up comedy act. And I got to tell you, when you watch it, it looks like a dude's doing stand-up.
I still don't understand. Award shows. This arena tomorrow, it's going to be a completely different setup, some concert, something like that. How could you explain that? I don't understand it, bro.
It's like you're watching Chris Rock. It's just crazy. Somebody also took various things that Kanye West has said over the years and edited it together so it looks like it's coming out of the famous 80s Teddy Ruxpin dolls. It's actually a little frightening.
Show and tell time.
Another teddy bear? My teddy's name is Teddy Ruxpin.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president. Listen to the kids, bro!
And the kids are just horrified to hear all the stuff that Kanye is yelling at him, especially when he gets to the part about George Bush and black people. The kids are so confused. All right, our friend Mike Realm, who we love featuring on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, he is, I think, the best in the world at doing these video remixes. It's incredible how great he is, and I'm a little surprised how into this movie he is, but he did one for We Are Your Friends, which is the Zac Efron DJ movie.
Yeah.
They're just looking for that perfect beat, Kevin.
Yeah.
And somehow, as bad as that movie apparently is, Mike Realm manages to make it actually look and sound pretty good.
That was your finger. 0-1 in their heartbeats. Haters. 0-1 in their heartbeats. That's the magic number. 0-1 in their heartbeats.
Are we ever going to be better than this?
No!
Evan says no. All right, here's some great live television that was captured for this week's roundup. There's a TV show on BBC One in Britain called Big Blue Live. Now, I take it from the name of the show that they're doing a live show talking about the blue whales, right?
I was thinking about the ocean.
The ocean, maybe?
Maybe it's about the ocean. Okay. Yeah. All right, so there's a guy who's hosting the program, and he's interviewing a lady in the area who's, you know, familiar with the ecology.
I like it. Take two.
And while he's talking to her about how rare these blue whales are, what do you suppose pops up practically next to the boat?
A body?
No, a blue whale. Oh, and he goes crazy.
What?
I've been leading daily whale watch trips out of Moss Landing for 6 years.
Oh, I'm so, so sorry. I don't believe what I've just heard. This is incredible. I've heard word that we have on our helicopter a blue whale.
For the last 2 days, we were told no blue whales in the bay. That is amazing work. Aaron, you are truly our hero.
Oh.
I love that they call him a hero because he was standing on a boat with a blue whale. Watch that whole video, though, because he is brilliant at how he goes off talking about this whale. He knows so much stuff about this whale, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to him in his life. Here's speaking of the ocean, there are a lot of sharks lately in Australia, and these TV newscasters are watching one too many stories about how the sharks are eating people, and they've just decided they've had enough with those sharks.
I am never going back in the water.
Me either. No way.
That's it.
Ah.
That's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Stuff summer.
No. Just go to the local pool. Look at the size of that thing. Like that little cage is going to help you.
I've watched a lot of video of them.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Really?
They are so funny, so
witty. They know what they're doing. It wasn't a mistake.
Oh, and the woman
like
plays kind of dumb and says the most sexual things ever.
Stuff
and to
summer.
The point where he has to walk off the set often.
That's like awesome.
They are very genuinely funny. Good.
Here's another one from TV. This is a reporter who's doing a report on a boardwalk in front of the ocean, and this huge bug starts buzzing around his head, and he freaks out.
What is that? That's because it's hot outside. Stuff like that happens. Was that live? Are we live? Oh, brother.
Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. He must have been so disappointed to find out that was on TV.
Allie, has that ever happened to you when you were doing it?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A bug flies around?
I've had a lot of moments that probably shouldn't have been on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And radio, too.
How dare you.
And finally, on this edition of Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, I know a lot of people aren't watching the Hannibal Buress talk show on Comedy Central. He does some very funny video stuff, though. And this one, they did a parody of the Comedy Central roast. This is him deciding to roast an infant. I mean, a baby who's like a day old is up there. And Jeffrey Ross is on there, the Roastmaster General and stuff. And they're pretty cruel to this little kid.
Anyway, baby, I'm not going to say you're ugly, but Angelina Jolie got a look at you and said, eight is enough.
Hannibal Buress.
Nice hair, baby. Does your barber use scissors or chemotherapy?
It's rough. It's really rough, the things they say about the baby. Anyway, you can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
So excited. I don't know why dictionaries exist anymore. It's not about the book, Kevin. It's about having a resource that that people can agree on as to what's a word and what's not a word and how a word is supposed to be used and what a particle of speech it is or figure of speech, whatever that is, or what the definition is. It's about having a resource that everybody can agree on that is the definitive one.
Okay.
That's why dictionaries exist. It's not about a book that you have in your house.
And how are you so excited about this?
Because I love – here's what's great about English is it's already the best language in the world. And
racist.
Sounds racist to me.
And it is the language that has the most words of any language.
Okay.
And it is none of which I can find right now. And it is constantly evolving. We're constantly adding new words to English, and that's exciting. Like, for instance, everybody has heard of manspreading. Manspreading
sure.
is a thing where a guy sits on a subway or in a bus or something like that, and he sits with his legs wide open. He takes up too much room.
Right.
Manspreading. It's a word that we've used for years now. Now it's a real word. Now it's in the dictionary.
But wasn't it real before it was in the dictionary?
That's my question.
It's just slang until it's in the dictionary. When it's in the dictionary, then it's real.
It's
and it
legit.
Means, it's legit, and it means the word is likely to exist in the future. It's likely to stand the test of time. It means a word has made it. It's not a passing fancy. It's here for real.
Every year we get the countdown to when they put the new words in. Into the dictionary.
I love it.
Oh, it's another week.
Yeah.
Can we see the new words?
Yep.
Because it's awesome sauce, which is a word that is in the dictionary now. The Oxford English Dictionary says awesome
sauce.
Doesn't that
anger you? Doesn't that make you mad?
Why?
Because it's a stupid word.
It's not a stupid word.
It's a stupid word.
It's like amazeballs. Shut up.
Amazeballs is an awesome word, too. But look, here's the thing, and this is what I keep trying to tell you guys. Maybe this is why you don't enjoy it as much as I do. The dictionary doesn't make judgment calls on whether words are good or bad.
Mm.
They reflect words that are in popular usage. So if people are using awesome sauce, it should be in the dictionary, whether you like it or not. It's real.
Right. I just can't find any interest in myself for what the dictionary says.
Well, then I don't need to talk to you because I have a man who actually is an Oxford Dictionary professor on the line. Dr. Leonard Rumson joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, doctor. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on your radio program, don't you know?
Funny.
The Oxford English Dictionary.
This is serious work, you know, yes. Deciding what words go in the dictionary itself.
Sure. It is very sure. much so. So the Oxford English Dictionary has been around for a long, long time. It
very
is the,
long, yes.
It's the most well-respected dictionary in the world, right?
We like to think so, yes.
Okay.
We always say around here, screw Merriam-Webster.
So when you put a word in a dictionary, God damn it, that means that word counts.
That's right. It's mad. It's official. It's a word that matters to people.
All right. Some of the new words in the dictionary now, according to your fine publication, is melty. If something is melty, it means it is melting or partially melted. Now, that's a word we needed, right?
Thank God, melty is there, because if you said to someone, that cheese sandwich is melting, they said, I don't even know what you're talking about. If you say it's melty, then they understand that some of the cheese is leaking out the side, don't you know?
Exactly. One word that's gotten a lot of attention this time around is hangry, which is somebody who is in a bad mood or irritable because they're hungry.
That's
so that's
right.
Hangry.
Oh, I missed lunch today, so I'm hangry. I'm hangry at you.
Has anyone in this room ever heard that word used?
I'm irritable because I'm hungry. That would make no sense at all.
But look, you appreciate the fact that the language is continually expanding, and you guys are doing good work by recognizing that.
Well,
right?
I appreciate that. Are you kidding me? It's what I live for.
I feel like Professor Rumson is joining us and mocking you.
Not at all. Okay. These things matter.
Okay, all right.
We're fine-tuning the language every day is what we're doing. We're doing the Lord's work here.
Exactly. Now, what other words are new that our listeners might be surprised to hear are now in the official Oxford English Dictionary,
well,
Doctor?
Well, you've seen the list. It's a long list of words we added this year.
Right.
Rando is another one.
Right. Rando.
Right. Because if you said it's random, yeah. Nobody would know what that meant.
No
and it takes
clue.
So much longer, too.
It's rando.
We're saving time.
That's true.
We've added okay instead of okay. Because okay, what does that mean? But okay, that you understand.
Well, you're
these
giving us some choices.
Changes.
Right.
And there's a whole list of words we didn't even get into the press release that
oh,
people
really?
Need to know about.
Like what?
Like Calisiris.
Calisiris? I'm not familiar with that one, Professor.
Calisiris is a medical condition where the skin on your tongue gets hardened from smoking too much pot, and it enlarges the tongue, and you stick it out all the time.
Well, that sounds like it's a word that's just invented to make fun of Miley Cyrus. It's the only one that would apply to.
Who's that? I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, all right.
There's another new word in the dictionary.
Yes.
It's the name of a new flower.
New flower, okay.
Called a Jaredanium. A Jaredanium is a flower that only grows in the ground around junior high schools.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It blooms around
yep.
little girls.
Yep.
Have you fully thought that
it.
One through?
The Jaredanium.
Yep, yes. I think we got it.
Yeah, we got
okay.
it.
Yeah.
There's also the Tallydugger.
The Tallydugger.
The Tallydugger is a man who can only get sexually excited while he's having an affair or with his sisters.
Oh,
the Tallydugger.
Wow.
I'm going to cross that one off the list.
Yeah, you might.
Maybe we'll take that out of the book in the next printing.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
New word also, the Westard. The Westard.
The Westard?
Westard. The Westard is a rapper who's a piece of crap. A Westard.
Westard. Westard.
Thank you, Allie.
One off the list as well.
Scratch that one.
And the last one is a Trumpane.
Trumpane.
A Trumpane.
A Trumpane is a political campaign that is featuring an idiot.
Okay.
A Trumpane.
Very useful.
A Trumpane. Also, people who believe in that person, they said, he drank the Trumpane. Mm. It's like Kool-Aid, only it's for dopes.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
We got time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some tickets to a very cool event that we're putting on, the K-Rock advanced screening of a movie called The Visit.
Yay!
It's all happening on September the 8th at the Pacific Grove Theater. This is an advanced screening of the new film, The Visit, which is about a single mother, played by Catherine Hahn, who I love, who sends her kids to spend a little time with grandma and grandpa. You know how it is.
Sure.
Two young kids spending time with Pop-Pop and Maymaw. Meemaw. And it all goes well. It's all cookies and hugs and sweaters. And
the trailer?
That's not the impression I'm getting either.
I believe this is on a double feature with War Room. I think it's
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Things don't go well?
At all.
She wants to put them in the oven.
That's true.
Tells them not to leave their room after 9 p.m.
Well, just if they would just listen to the damn rules and follow them at grandparents' house, there wouldn't be any problem, would there?
You're all going to die tonight.
Apparently things go horribly wrong. Looks terrifying. If you'd like to see The Visit early, How about September the 8th at the Pacific Grove Theater? Or you can just wait until September 11th when the visit's in theaters everywhere. But if you want to see it early, call me now. 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to see the K-Rock Advance screening of The Visit. I tell this next story at my own peril because I know how Bean feels about this particular website.
Okay.
It's called Ranker.com. Ranker.com, if you didn't get a clue from the name of the website, ranks things.
Lists.
They do make lists.
If
That's
they
what
only
they do.
Also had maps, I would never have to go to any other website.
That's true. Well, Ranker asked millennial voters, Kevin, of course, the millennials being...
People that are over 1,000 years old.
That's right. All the 1,000-year-olders. Asked those...
Yes?
Folks.
Millennials.
Which films they thought were the funniest movies of all time.
Oh, good list.
Funniest movies of all time, according to 15,000 voters who weighed in on this public poll. Thousands of funny movies produced over the years.
By the way,
since before the turn of the 20th century, comedy films have brought us laughter and enjoyment, it says here on this list.
That's accurate.
Comedy films have brought us laughter?
Apparently. Mm. By the way, did you notice, Ralph, that Kanye West referred to himself as a millennial on his speech the other night?
Yeah, I did.
He's 38 years old.
He's hardly a millennial.
Yeah, he's hardly a millennial. So he's too
Gen
old.
Gen X.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He would be too old to vote for this. All right, so millennials, funniest movies of all time. May I start the bidding?
I think
here?
You're going to be surprised because there's a lot of... older films.
I am surprised. Because the first one that came to mind, and there's so many that involve Will Ferrell, but I'm going to just say Bridesmaids to get us started.
Bridesmaids?
Was he in Bridesmaids?
I thought he was.
One of Will's biggest hits.
I don't.
Bridesmaids. He was in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids was an all female cast. It was Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy.
Okay?
What am I thinking of?
Rose Byrne.
Wedding Crashers.
I'm thinking of Wedding Crashers. Are either of those on the list?
Let me take a look here. Neither made the list.
Oh,
but
interesting.
How about The Hangover?
We're all dumber have had heard your guesses, though. Thank you so much.
That's true. The Hangover.
The Hangover, third on the list.
Thank you.
Kevin, third on the list. The Hangover. Is the third funniest film ever.
Dumb and Dumber.
According to Ranker.com.
Please.
Dumb and Dumber, ninth on the list, Allie. Well done. Number nine on the list.
I never get to play in these games, by the way. I never get to guess.
Ralph makes us guess, and you get to
hey,
play.
Hey, it's my turn, mother effer.
Oh, my bad.
Are you going to name another all-female comedy starring Will Ferrell?
I'm going to take a page out of the Alan McKay playbook and go with an older movie than I might have originally guessed and say Animal House.
Animal House, not on the list. In the
okay.
top ten.
Bad
movies.
Guess, then. All right, Kevin's you.
Kevin, it's back to you. Did you say Paul Blart for real?
No, I was just being funny.
Funny movie.
Would you like a guess?
Name a comedy.
Can you write something 21 down Jump for Street. Him to guess? So
21 Jump Street.
Something? Not on
I'm
the list.
I'm trying to think of current.
However, I did warn you at the beginning of this segment, there's tons of older comedies on this list that you would be surprised to see. So immediately you took that information, processed it, and said, I'm going to think of one of the most recent comedies I could possibly come up with just to narrow my odds of being right just that much more.
If they were raised right, I would say Airplane.
Airplane number two on the list, Allie McKay.
What?
Airplane, second funniest movie according to 15,000 millennials. See, you have to remember, this generation is well versed in media from all eras. They can go to Netflix or they can go anywhere to see any film from any era, and they find Airplane the second funniest movie of all time.
I have a guess that I am so confident in will be on the list that I am putting one American dollar up, Ralph, that you get if I am wrong. If this movie is not on the list, I give you this.
This is like being giving up a finger.
Did someone say Animal House?
Yeah.
Yes, I said Animal House.
Yeah, you were right.
It doesn't count for the dollar, by the way.
It doesn't count, but it was number six on the list. You know what fooled me, though? It's listed as National Lampoon's Animal House, and as I was scanning it, I did not see Animal House readily.
So that wasn't a terrible guess.
It was not a terrible guess, and it is on the list. It was number six, Animal House number six.
All right, here's my guess that I'm putting money behind, and that is a little movie I like to call, because it's the name of the movie, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, eighth on the list.
Well done.
Eighth on the list. Ghostbusters.
I'll keep my dollar.
You get to keep your dollar. Ghostbusters. One of Kevin's favorite movies of all
time, by the way.
And 21 Jump Street? That's where he went. He went there over Ghostbusters. One of his
all right, I'm going to go old school then and go Stripes.
Stripes, not on the list.
Come on!
Not on the list.
Should be, by the way.
Should be, but isn't.
I feel like they
However,
would...
I like how you're thinking, though. You guys are circling the...
All right.
You're circling the right...
The drain?
Yes. You're circling the right target zone, the right area, the right era.
All right.
Oh, see, then I was going to go Anchorman.
That's a great guess,
that,
too.
Yeah. Better be on there.
It should be on there.
What are you doing?
That's with A, Ralph, if that helps.
Yeah, I know. I'm,
should be. Who are these kids?
It's not on the list.
Huh.
We're out of time, but my last guess will be Caddyshack.
Oh,
Caddyshack,
yes.
Fifth on the list.
We didn't get number one. How's that possible?
Yeah.
Blazing
yeah.
Saddles.
Ralph?
Blazing Saddles, fourth on the list.
Oh!
Allie's good at this, yeah. man.
Well, Superbad.
Superbad, not on the list.
Come on, that was a serious guess.
It was a serious guess, but it was not on the list.
Young Frankenstein,
10th on the list. Young Frankenstein.
Seriously.
You're crushing it, Allie.
Right?
Well, she dates a lot of 20-year-olds.
That's right. Damn right.
Number 7, Groundhog Day.
All right.
And the only one we didn't get on the list, the number 1 funniest film overall, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah! Way to go, kids.
So there you go.
That is a surprise to me.
Huh. Here's your list.
You know, I'm very surprised with that because I would imagine that most 25-year-olds have no idea who Monty Python is.
No, but I think Ralph's right. It's available everywhere now where it didn't used to be.
Right. Good list, Ralph.
I thought so.
Love that, ranker.com.
Great stuff. We're out of time, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah. Okay, let me get to celebrity birthdays. Cat Williams, 42 years old today. Salma Hayek is 49. Keanu Reeves turns 51. Mark Harmon turns 64 years old today. Harvey Levin is 65. And Terry Bradshaw. Of course, you're... One of your co-hosts of Fox's NFL Sunday. Not this weekend, but the next.
Can't wait.
You're back. I cannot wait for the NFL. 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, kids. Our friend Adam Carolla is going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv doing a live podcast show taping. That is going to be tomorrow night. He has special guests from FX's The League, including Paul Scheer and Steve Ranazizizizizi. You can get tickets available at adamcarolla.com. Again, that's tomorrow night. Carolla on stage at the Irvine Improv. Go and have fun. Tell the Ace Man we said hi.
I'd like to correct myself real quickly if I could. The list that I read to you was the overall list of the funniest films of all time from all age groups.
Okay.
The millennial list is a separate list that was not included here.
Okay.
So the headline featured all this millennial stuff.
Okay,
and then
so
the
that
list,
wasn't millennials at all.
The list they provided was all ages.
Okay.
Why did you make that correction, Ralph? We were all satisfied with
how
it ended.
Because I would have gotten all kinds
of emails. Email Ralph at krock.com.
Millennial voters picked Hangover number 1, Anchorman number 2.
There you go.
And that's all the information they gave us
regarding
that
need.
List. But there you go.
Tomorrow morning, I'll Kevin...
Wow.
So it begins.
Tomorrow morning, another all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Lee Rittenberg, who is a traffic defender. He's going to tell you how to get out of tickets.
Kevin.
We also have Jim Rortz, and we're going to talk to Dr. Drew. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.